So the globalists for almost 10 years, 9 years, have been giving themselves 0% interest, not to mention banker bailouts that are just trillions of dollars to themselves, that taxpayers have to back up. So they plunge the economy, then we have to back up their bad debts, and then they turn around and take the money we've loaned them and loan it back to us at incredible interest. And so the first thing Trump did when he got in, just 16 days ago, he's only had like 10 working days, but he's been working all 16. The first thing he did was to come in and say, let's start moving with banking regulations. Let me get my Treasury Secretary in there. They have totally blocked all the money being given to small businesses and individuals. Lending has just been shut off ever since interest went to zero, because why should the banks do that? They're the first handlers of the money, so they get it at zero, but only select mega banks. Trump said, no, sir, we're going to give 0% interest to the little banks, the local banks, the regional banks, the private banks, the banks that aren't part of the insider groups. Not just the six big ones, not just a bunch of foreign banks. We're going to give 0%. And Trump's pressuring the Federal Reserve right now. That is a consortium of private banks, but it's an intergovernmental meeting group. It's just kind of the council of the private banks. He's pressuring them to keep it low. Not that's even good overall, generally. We need some, you know, interest so people that save and invest make money. But while America and the world is in this long depression slash recession for the average person, it's time for Main Street to get a bubble. Because when Main Street gets a bubble, you actually get a bridge built. You actually get a business built. You actually get some jobs. You actually get some money saved. You actually get some cars bought, some restaurants visited, some haircuts paid for, some new clothes, a new coat, some new shoes. Yes, these are dangerous bubbles. But they already created a mega bubble nobody can get out of unless we get the average person out of the bubble, because that's where you are able to rebuild an economy. But without getting some money to those people, it's not going to happen. This is 101 economics. Trump should be a superstar, loved by the general public or the average poor person. But the average poor person is a Democratic supporter, especially on the East and West Coast. And they just really think all their prosperity comes from the government. They don't even care if the stock market's up, because what? They don't own stock. They don't understand that those businesses are hiring a lot of times based off how their stock's doing. So there's danger in the Trump euphoria. There's danger in a bubble. There's danger in him betting on he can supercharge things. But here's the deal. The danger of not doing it is a guaranteed ongoing worldwide recession slash depression that's meant to consolidate total control and pick winners and losers. So I've been hammering on this for 9 years, having economist after economist on. You've heard Ron Paul, big pessimist of every politician. He says, quote, a week ago, Donald Trump's doing a great job on the economy. I think it's too little too late, but he's doing a fantastic job. Paul is one of the least complimenting people out there, okay? He's very, very, not mechanical, but he's just very, very dedicated to just being very, very machine-like. There's the headline exclusive. Ron Paul says Trump is trying to stop global collapse. Folks, it's because he is. Listen, and I've seen this played out, this globalist program, over and over again in other countries. They have an admitted blueprint. In 2002, Joseph Stiglitz, who'd won the Nobel Prize twice, once for economics, left the World Bank as our chief economist. And he said, I will not be part of the criminal activity taking place and trying to make the public poor. And it was the plan of the IMF and World Bank, again, international meeting houses of mega banks. They're just the front groups, governmental name. It's the International Federal Reserve, basically, deciding to implode now the first world and make us debt slaves, kill the engines of production, the engines of liberty, the engines of upward mobility, and have a giant consolidation for political control. I mean, we don't want just a bunch of billionaires and trillionaire globalists that then rule on like mountaintops that are all high tech and have electricity. We're down here like it's just Ceausescu's Romania or Venezuela and don't have electricity most of the time and have kids starving in the streets. But that's the management tool of the globalist. That's what we're headed into. It's Monday, February 6, 2017. We're going to be back.
We are transferring power from Washington, D.C., and giving it back to you, the people.
Marxism will be our credo.
This is the heart of 1776.
Yes, I have thought an awful lot about blowing up the White House.
Huge nationwide protests erupted once again on President Donald Trump's second weekend in office.
When you open your heart to patriotism, there is no room for prejudice. When America is united, America is totally unstoppable.
Donald J. Trump is now President of the United States.
And most importantly, we will be protected by God.
From the front lines of the InfoWar, it's Alex Jones.
No! Yeah!
Oh my goodness, poor Trump. White people, please, oh my, stop.
And if you're not a TV viewer, for radio listeners, that's a compilation just recently of white people being attacked just for being white and associating that with Trump, and CNN saying, big deal, quit whining about it. That's the culture, that's the mindset, that's the system that's being sold right now. Obviously, I'm going to talk about the Super Bowl last night and the huge upset from behind victory and how MSM is now equating it with white supremacy, that the team that Trump loves won. Because this ties into the fact that sports is simulated politics, simulated combat, simulated war. And finally, the public is so dumbed down that in their ultimate ignorance, they finally found truth in that the whole thing's gone full circle now, that they understand what sports is to begin with, to divert them from politics. But things have gotten so debased that now they've projected politics onto it when it was always designed to distract them from politics. Very interesting, isn't it? But again, because they're projecting politics onto it, it's completely moronic. Because the sports are to distract from real issues. So when you finally project politics on it, when it's not based in reality, when it's a primitive form of virtual reality, then the political parallels are ridiculous because it's already based in the political system's fraud. That if you voted for Trump, you're inherently racist. And then you even get some of the white supremacists and people coming out and saying that Tom Brady is the Aryan avatar after Patriots win Super Bowl. Jumping on the bandwagon, adding gasoline to the fire. So all sides are basically powering up from all of this and the hijacking of the giant bread and circus gladiatorial diversion. So you know the political system's coming down when their big distractions now even get turned into political events and political movements. So that story's up on InfoWars.com. Also, report, ICE is offering recruits protection, payments, and free passage to Europe. Yeah, ICE said 3 years ago they were going to intensify the flooding of Europe and the United States with ISIS recruits and use that as a smokescreen to get their people in place. RT's now reporting on this, but this is an absolute fact. And how dare President Trump come out and simply say, well, Obama banned four countries, I'm banning seven countries just for 3 months until we get real vetting in place, because there's not real vetting going on, that's admitted. But no matter how many gun attacks, knife attacks, car attacks, truck attacks happen, no matter how many hundreds and hundreds of people die a month, how many rapes there are, shootings, it doesn't matter. This is the globalist plan to bring down the West, and they're moving forward with it regardless. Doesn't matter if it's totally constitutional, as another major federal judge ruled what Trump was doing. They found another globalist judge to say it's unconstitutional, and the Ninth Circuit, the most globalist, socialist, communistic in the country, in San Francisco, the city that says let illegals vote in their court rulings, they say what Trump's doing is wrong. They're not liberals. They're conquering you with giant, unwashed third world masses that are hungry, that are desperate, and will vote and work and do whatever they're told to be here in this country, even if they're helping drive down the wages and destroy it in the long run. It doesn't matter, because today there is food. This is the Soylent Green scenario that more and more we're entering into. Whistleblower, top scientist. NOAA scientists manipulated temperature data to make global warming seem worse. Now, you as a listener already know this, but the documents have been released, how they were hiding the decline. And the Daily Caller is reporting it. The Daily Mail is reporting it. How world leaders were duped into investing billions over manipulated global warming data. They didn't just put thermostats and temperature readers out on hot tarmacs to manipulate the data and make it look like temperature was going up more than it was. They also just made up temperature data and thermometers all over the country that didn't exist. And they premeditatedly engaged in fraud. This came out in the East Anglia emails 6 years ago in ClimateGate, where they said, we've got to hide the decline. It hasn't been warming for 14 years. In the last three, it's been cooling. They said, what do we do? Send the directive to over 1,000 universities to hide the decline. And since then, they have been hiding the decline at a murderous rate, at a highly accelerated rate. You know, I've got news here in front of me that I started reading about last night that physically made me sick. And it makes me sick that my fellow humans are this nasty, this conniving, this evil, and have come up with plans like this. Where I live, here in Austin, Texas, has been studied and actuaried and looked at for more than 25 years as the global model city of the future. And when you actually read what they say they're going to do under Agenda 21, and you realize it's only being done in one Chinese city, one Japanese city, one German city, and one U.S. city, and you read what they're doing and what they've got planned, it is so horrible that it just makes me want to cry. It's so premeditated, so obvious, so documented, so arrogant, so naked, so terrible that I don't even want to sit here and talk about it and not give it the true justice of making a, you know, 30-minute special report documenting every facet of it. But as fast as I can research, it's so big, it's so old, it's so planned that there it just goes on and on and on and on, worse and worse and worse and worse. Then you find out how many people are involved in it. And then you realize about half the people fleeing San Francisco and Los Angeles to come to Austin aren't useful dupe idiots that are leaving the system that failed, that they helped bring down. They know it's all a big scam and are coming here to collude with it, to collaborate with it, and to help suck everything dry and rip everybody off and then move on in 20, 30 years. They even train their kids how to do it. That's why I used to go to these smart growth conferences and Agenda 21 conferences, and I'd say, this is a giant scam. You're raising rents, and you're hurting people, and you're creating monopolies. And they would just go, get out of my way, scum. Of course we are. Listen to this one. Tell us something we don't know. And they're just all in there in these frenzied meetings, just lobbying the city at the convention center just like all laughing and cackling and just rubbing their hands together to collude and rob everybody. Just, what am I talking about? Well, it ties into how world leaders were duped. Whenever the fraud comes out, it's, oh, the leaders didn't know they were duped. No, ladies and gentlemen, that's not what I'm getting into. Nico, I think I actually gave you my stack on that. No, here it is. I gave him the stack because I told him, I said, I want to do more research on this. It's called Code Next. That's the trendy name for Agenda 21 in Austin, Texas. Code Next takes Austin to another dimension. Do we really want to go there? And you read it, and this writer from Affordable Austin gets it and says it's like a Stephen King novel when you read it. And you're like, how do people come up with this stuff? Wait till you learn what Next Code does. And this is the model for your town next. But it is just so diabolical. Now, let me stop right there. I got some really bad news for everybody, but getting ahead of this bad news is what's going to stop it. But those of you that have been rooting against Trump, all the big throngs of dupes, that's why they're losers. They get conned by every new con game. They buy lottery tickets. You know, it's that type of person. Well, you might get what you want. Waging war on corruption, crashing the lies and disinformation. It's Monday, already the sixth day of February, 2017. I'm your host, Alex Jones. This is a short six-minute segment. I'm going to get into the whole mega attack on Trump and the people of the world, not just America, in the next segment, because I can't do it justice in this segment. In the next segment, I'll also answer Nancy Pelosi's evil question, which she knows the answer to. What does Vladimir Putin have on Trump? What does Vladimir Putin have on Trump? Well, I'll tell you what Vladimir Putin has on Trump as well when we come back. Again, you can see the video at InfoWars.com. It's Pelosi calls for FBI investigation to find out what the Russians have on Donald Trump. Yes, all because he doesn't want to have war with Russia and has been advised on a new global strategy to save the nation state and reverse an engineered global depression that's meant to convert the planet into poor people and end prosperity. See, I can't ever keep a secret, can I, from the audience? Well, I can keep secrets good. I'm just not good at saying something's coming up and then giving you the answer. But I'll actually give you the rest of the story in detail coming up. Milo Yiannopoulos is popping in for a little bit in the second hour. Then I'm going to open phones. He'll be on to really get into his book for a full hour on Wednesday. He's invited me out to one of his events with all the socialists and brainwashed snowflakes blowing up and going crazy. So I guess I'm probably going to have to do that in the next few weeks. So that should be interesting. Of course, he has the number one book right now on the charts, and that's Dangerous Faggot. And again, they want to be able to take all these terms and use them and be, politically incorrect. He calls himself Dangerous Faggot. The politically correct wouldn't let him put the full title out. It's called Dangerous. And, you know, the point is they want to be able to push all these memes and cultural mores that they say the controlled left owns. But they don't own who people are, what they stand for, or the complexity of the average individual. Just because you have a particular sexual persuasion doesn't mean then that you hate people who don't have that persuasion. And that's what the gay movement has become to a great extent, at least according to MSM, and that you must then adopt all these ideas that they say you must adopt. And so whether you love Milo or hate Milo, I think he's a very articulate, funny guy, and he's certainly gotten his point across. Whether you love him or hate him, he's been effective, and he has a right to free speech. just like Roger Stone does, just like I do, just like Matt Drudge does, just like everybody else does. And they're trying to end that, and that's what's dangerous. But beyond ending free speech, under their next code systems, they are openly establishing a planetary system of total control, where the individual has absolutely no rights, and where your very environment is a prison. And they admit that. Everything is tracked, everything is traced. Remember, I told you the NSA was listening to everything you were doing with keywords and had hidden microphones and cameras and stuff 20 years ago when I was a crazy man. Snowden comes out 3 years ago and confirms everything I told you. You go see the Snowden movie, you're like, this is Police State 2000 from 1999. How did Alex Jones know this? NSA whistleblowers, some of which came on the show. And then I would get physically attacked or audited or death threatened for doing it. I had no idea how original the work I was doing truly was. But look into Code Next if you want to understand the global model of Agenda 21 simply using zoning to fully enslave you and your family. And I love Texas, but they have an admitted plan under Code Next to take over Austin and then take over the surrounding towns like a cancer, take over the I-35 and I-45 corridors and fully bring in the third world population to drive down wages, to house them in overpriced coffin apartments, and to bring down the standard of living massively, then use those political groups as a checkmate on the rest of the population and kill the middle class once and for all, which is always the authoritarian plan. Briefly, I got a call last night, and the great folks over at My Patriot Supply that produced the Alexa Pure said you cannot offer it for 25% off anymore. It has to end today. Your contract says so. Our other suppliers are complaining because there's really not much profit in it at this level. Well, I have lost leaders. And Tim Frechette said, listen, one more day, 25% off Alexa Pure Breeze. Leading competitors, $400. It's $149. Same thing with the water filtration systems. You cannot beat the Alexa Pure water filtration systems and the Alexa Pure Breeze. At the regular price, it's the best deal out there at InfoWarsStore.com. Same thing with storable foods there. But with it at these discounts, it only happened once or twice a year. You can't beat it. InfoWarsStore.com and support the broadcast. But the key is don't trust the globalists. Filter your water. Filter your air.
We're on the march. The empire's on the run.
They want to take control of the environment.
Alex Jones.
You got to take control of yours.
GCN Radio Network. Waging war on corruption. It's Alex Jones coming to you live from the front lines of the info war.
Communist China's buying up the stock market, the mercantiles in Hollywood, and producing big budget films directed by the director of Transformers with an Escape from New York plotline where Donald Trump's a dictator and the communist Chinese are going to take him out. No nation would ever put up with such outrageous rubbing our faces in the dirt. But the globalists, they just think that Trump is a hiccup along the way on their total quest for planetary domination and domination of the individual. So you're not going to see this on Fox and Friends. You're not going to, you know, hear about this even on the Bill O'Reilly show. And I don't say that to differentiate myself from Fox. I say it in sadness because I wish this info was getting out to the general public. But it's hidden, actually, in the establishment's publications like Bloomberg, the Associated Press, and others. In fact, the only place that's talking about it is the New York Post, strangely enough. And they're getting it right, but only part of it. And that's the bad news, folks. Yes, I've had a lot of exuberance. In fact, none of it has been irrational because really great things are happening. People are waking up. But the globalists at Goldman Sachs and JP Morgan that run the show are coming against him. Now, before I get to this news, boy, it sure felt good for CNN and Fox and MSNBC and other talk show hosts to say, oh, look at the Trump supporters. They've been duped. Why, he's got three former senior individuals from Goldman Sachs inside of his administration. Why, everybody knows Goldman Sachs is the bad guy. Why, Alex Jones says it all the time. I've seen hundreds of news articles where they chortle and laugh with glee and rub their hands together and say, look at the sellout Alex Jones claiming Goldman Sachs was bad, but now his boy, Trump, the evil billionaire, is stacking his administration with rich people and Goldman Sachs to screw you over. And the left howls with anger. And one of the only cogent points they would make to me at the different marches I've attended, like the Women's March in D.C. on January 21st, is, you effing white male? Well, I guess that's accurate. How do you feel now? He's got a bunch of Goldman Sachs people. And as I always said, well, let's go look at Bannon and Mnuchin and one of the other people. All of them have been against globalism. All of them have tried to expand cheaper housing. All of them have tried to have fairer trade deals here in the United States. And all of them were on the inside at the highest levels and watched it happening and for decades have been speaking out against it. And now Trump gets in. He tries to cut taxes to the poor, the middle class, the nouveau riche. He tries to cut our corporate income tax so it brings back over $1 trillion here. The big corporations wrote that because they didn't want U.S. competition. They wanted it to be exclusionary because they had sweetheart deals with China so they could leave. And he moves to get us out of the carbon tax, the Paris agreements that are unconstitutional. He kills the TPP that literally just took over all of our sovereignty. He begins renegotiating NAFTA and GATT. He has to do that because those were laws passed by Congress. He's doing everything right. He tells the central banks, you've hoarded trillions and trillions and trillions of taxpayer money in bailouts and not loaned any of it out to the public. You're now going to loan it out at very low interest rates to get the economy going. Now, previous presidents would order more bailouts for foreign banks, and they'd follow it. But the Federal Reserve's saying, oh, no, we're private. They'd always said they weren't. We're going to do what we want now, the New York Fed that actually runs it. Your regional banks are a totally separate system of the Fed, a subgroup that just controls, you know, the cash and the currency and implements the centralized private regulations. But I don't want to give a history lesson here. Here's the big news. Want a drum roll? Goldman Sachs and J.P. Morgan are putting out bad news on the street and bad news to their investors to drive down the stock market. They're announcing the Trump rally's over. They're doing everything they can to throw a wet blanket on it. And they're announcing that they're going to start jacking up interest rates, which has already begun, to make sure you don't get any of your own taxpayer money back that they hoard to be even able to give those loans. And they are really pushing as hard as they can publicly to kill the Trump recovery. And they're now having Paul Ryan, their blue-eyed angel of death that presides over this economy, the Speaker of the House, saying, we're not going to be looking at tax cuts this year, might even not be next year. This country is in cardiac arrest. Trump has defibrillators out. He got them on our chest. And now Paul Ryan's trying to keep him from pulling the trigger. Just the announcement that he was going to defibrillate, that he was going to give mouth-to-mouth, that Trump was going to try to get our heart going again, got the heart starting to go, and now it's starting to stop, and they are celebrating with intense pleasure. Let me give you a few of the headlines. Delaying Trump's tax cut is a huge risk. And the New York Post editorial board goes on to say, this will kill growth, and we need this right now. We are stalled out. Let me give you what's happening. Bloomberg is celebrating. Goldman Sachs says Trump rally has been curbed. That's right. You got to curb that rally, and they admit they've been trying to do it. Goldman Sachs. I thought Goldman Sachs ran his White House. That's why he's killing TPP, their master plan, killing all their programs, killing globalism, killing one-sided trade deals. Oh, because they're openly against him, because they gave 100% of their money to Hillary and zero to Trump. Oh, but I know, having a recovery and having a future doesn't matter to mainline conservatives and liberals. They just want to be able to walk up to me on the street and say, you're a sellout. Donald Trump's for Goldman Sachs. It just feels good to say nobody's good. There could never be a recovery. Nobody could fight globalism. Look at this little jewel. Chelsea Clinton wrote a new book, Governing Global Health. Oh, how global government's going to be based on controlling your health and controlling big plagues that are going to happen. And only a global government, a global cage, a global grid, can keep you safe from the coming plagues. Ever watch my film Endgame? Came out in 2007, where I said they'll use global pandemics to bring in global government. Of course, I didn't just look in a crystal ball. I read the Banff Canada documents, over 2,000 pages of them, that came out when Judicial Watch sued and got the North American Union meeting documents. And boy, guess what was going on at that meeting? Well, Code Next was going on, and Agenda 21, and I'm going to tell you about that and tie it all together in a moment. But here are the headlines. Goldman Sachs says Trump rally has been curbed. Bloomberg. Goldman Sachs economists are starting to worry about President Trump. Yes, Bloomberg's putting all the bad news out now. Time to sell the dollar on erratic Trump policies. JP Morgan, they're all putting out the line. Because you know what got leaked last week by good intelligence agencies was that George Soros is basically naked shorting the dollar and the pound to punish us, to get us back under global government. And so, of course, we can't have him go bankrupt. We've got to have J.P. Morgan and Bloomberg and Goldman Sachs all come out against America and England. They're doing that, too. And all together, naked short our currency and our stock market to destroy it. Thank you. Oh, yeah. Oh, because I forgot. Because Trump works for you, right? He's doing what you want. No, he's doing the opposite. And I'm almost convinced the average American doesn't even deserve Trump. I'm serious. They just want to fantasize how they're on the winning team. And if the media says you're on the winning team by destroying Trump, well, God forbid he's trying to give you a life raft in the middle of the frozen Arctic Ocean. God forbid he gives you a space heater or some food. God forbid he actually not be out to get you. Because after all, you don't deserve that like the elites have told me, because the public is a bunch of scum, Alex. And they're evil, and they inherently want to be hurt. Alex, you'll never be in a bad position because you're smart. You're one of us. You'll learn, Alex. One day you'll come and work for us. One day. That's why we're going to let you live. Well, guess what? Trump doesn't want to be part of this either. And I will never be part of screwing everyone over. Because let me tell you, a big percentage of people do care, and they know the truth, and they're as upset about this as I am. And together, we're going to beat you. You understand that? I don't care what you turn the public into, or if 80% of them act like animals. I'm not lowering to your level and feeding on them. I'm not a cannibal. Bloomberg, sworn to break up your family, sworn to get your guns, an admitted technocrat who brags in profiles that he wants to run every facet of your life and have you live in a 225-square-foot coffin apartment with everything you do surveilled and no more families and total control. He is a monster. He says he wants to decide what you're going to eat. He calls himself the great technocrat. He made tens of billions of dollars extra just in the last few years because he's wired into all the high-frequency trading and all the grids and all the smart meters and everything. He wrote the systems with the NSA that literally control you and game you. And so if Microsoft wants a system to game you, or Amazon wants one, or Alibaba, they got to go to him because he's given all the advanced technology as the little high priest. They decided to manage it to screw you over. Man, he makes me sick. And then he's got all the little trendies loving it because in all these publications and in little announcements, you won. You're a winner. You're part of the winning team. You live in downtown Austin. You're under the smart meters. Yeah. You don't have kids. Yeah. You don't have a yard. Yeah. We DNA test your dog's poop to make sure you're not letting your dog poop outside. But that's not a surveillance grid. That's not beyond Big Brother or Brave New World. Yeah. Yeah. You're down with it. You're traveling to another dimension. It's called Agenda 21. It's called Code Next. which is next code for the next download, your next directive in the Borg assimilation. Into a system where you're assimilated to be destroyed. The end of humanity openly announced the end of man. Why the future doesn't need us. Hundreds of books, thousands of white papers I read 20 years ago. And now I'm watching it happen. I'm living it. And I go down and there's people with huge mustaches and a pink sock and a green sock dancing with pot bellies. And they go, screw you, Alex. Ah, we don't care. And I'm like, it's a master plan to take you down. I think your mustache is cool, actually. I think your green and red sock is cool. But listen, you're not individual by being screwed over by this and by believing that this is how you're cool with smart meters, everything you do being tracked, and all your friends run around and wave your arms, and but everybody goes home alone at night because there is no family. None of it's real. You're living a simulation. You're living a fraud. If sports is a primitive form of virtual reality, it's real reality, but based in a controlled confine where the outcome won't affect the true power structure. And now they're extrapolating it out to VR and total systems that remove you from reality. And I could see that myself by studying it. But then I go read their own white papers and they're giggling and laughing about it. While they're building armored fortresses in jungle mountain keeps from Tasmania to Kauai and not letting any electronics be there, and their children being brought up like Amish. Because when they're done with this taking over, they know it's a weapon system. It's not some uplifting, great, beautiful thing they're entering into. And so Trump's like, we're not doing this. We're not going to make everybody poor and dumb everybody down and turn off the, you know, the lights and put people in coffins. What the hell is this? And they're like, oh, really? Watch us deep six everything. And he knows he's battling them. He knows he's racing to try to bring prosperity. But they're going to make it trendy to go, look, the economy's plunging. Leftist, dump your stocks, show Trump that we'll live in failure together. Time to sell the dollar on erratic Trump policies, JP Morgan says. That's right, he's erratic, he's bad, he's evil, stabilizing the economy. So they say, crash the economy, and when they crash it, whose fault is it? It's Trump and all his supporters. Wow. And oh, the Republicans say, sorry. Not gonna let the poor and middle class have tax cuts. My name's Paul Ryan, and I have twinkly blue eyes, so it's okay. It feels so good, doesn't it? Screw people over. And then we've got all the other documents. Oh, we've got them all right here. How world leaders were duped into investing billions over manipulated global warming data, all the data coming out, all of it was fake, fake thermometers, fake readings, fake, 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 to bring in global government. The only thing that's not accurate in the Daily Mail and other publications is they weren't duped. They were put in to do it. And yes, top engineers that were there witnessing it all are coming out. But see, since that got exposed 6 years ago, they've just moved on to call it change. If there's any change, you're going to have to give your change over that's in your pocket to them, except they're getting rid of change. Everything's digital under the governing global health. Who runs the world and why? Oh, there's no global governance, but Chelsea, when she's not sucking $2 billion out of Haiti refugee money or relief money, she's telling you how there's going to be a global government and just how great it is to be part of it. And it's going to run health because big plagues are coming that are going to kill a lot of people. And they're going to have to manage the whole thing and manage everybody dying and not let those pesky Christian missionaries in to actually help folks. And I need to stop them and just, you know, take everything they've got. But don't worry, there's going to be lots of company because they're going to make you real poor, too, so they can teach you. Because you wouldn't figure out how they were screwing you over. So now they're going to hurt you real bad. And Chelsea wants more. We come back, I'm going to play a few clips that document this that are extremely, extremely powerful. And I'm also going to tie this in to why Nancy Pelosi, you know, comes out and says, who's got dirt on Trump? What does Putin have on him that, you know, that makes him go this course? Well, Pelosi, for one, it's because Russia isn't doing anything to the U.S. Russia isn't expanding. But more importantly, he's been advised by patriots in the government on another course out of this, pulling Europe out of the global system, pulling the U.K. out. That's already started to happen. Russia's already pulled out. Japan doesn't want to be part of it once out now. They were induced after they were conquered by the U.S. to be part of it. China says it wants to be the new dominant force. So there's a huge shift happening as we reach the critical crossroads. Le Pen wants to pull out. She's in the lead as well. She says we're at the crossroads for the end of the West or not, the end of freedom. And so at this great point, when they're finally about to kill all freedom and prosperity, some people are kind of hesitating for a moment. Globalists admit that they have absolutely destabilized the third world, put in policies to balloon populations. Now they're going to weaponize politically those groups, bring them in, put them in government-sponsored 220 to 250 square foot apartments, drive down wages, politically brainwash them, and then use them as a tool of political control. And then once you're driven down into those wage levels, you will have to accept the coffin cities, the coffin buildings, and all the social engineering that comes with those. But don't worry, if you're upper middle class, you might get a 1,000 square foot apartment for you and your two or three kids, but there's going to be penalties for it. You're going to have weekly inspections by the building manager to make sure that you're going under all the social controls. And of course, you've got to have all your vaccines and you've got to be DNA tested and all the rest of it to make sure you're behaving yourself. This is the model. Meanwhile, Trump is battling to stop the global financial collapse that the New World Order has been engineering for a very, very long time. He's trying to bring back old-fashioned prosperity and making alliances with the UK and with Le Pen of France and so many others. And so what are the globalists doing? I mean, Trump is racing to fight the Bloomberg plan. This is a Bloomberg plan. Bloomberg pushes the very plan I just mentioned. He's trying to make deals with Australia, Russia, anybody that'll talk to him. And so when he talks to Russia, who started pulling out of globalism about 18 years ago, they go, you're a Russian agent. You don't want war with them. You don't like George Soros overthrowing Ukraine and starting a civil war. You don't want to have a war. Our own general, starting 4 years ago, began to work with the Russians to block ISIS and Al-Qaeda. There was a soft coup against Obama saying we're not going to spread the Arab Spring all over Africa and Europe and the Middle East and do this. And so who was the main architect of that? Well, it was General Dempsey at the time. It was chairman of the Joint Chiefs, but it was also General Flynn that ran it. And that's now come out. I told you about it first 4 years ago with Colonel Schaefer, CIA whistleblowers, you name it. And I was whistleblowing to give General Flynn and others the cover they needed politically to do it. Then you saw senators come out, like, to his credit, Paul and, of course, Cruz, and say we're not Al-Qaeda's Air Force. So they changed the name to ISIS to confuse you. And so Trump's being advised by even folks like Mattis that used to be anti-Russian, to this is an alliance, if we can do it, with Japan, with Russia, with countries breaking away in Europe, with the UK, with Australia, against China and the New World Order. Because the U.S. is to be brought down, folks, and China be set up as number one. And a lot of our military and intelligence agencies aren't wimps. In fact, they're some of the meanest, most murderous people you can imagine. That's why America was number one. And we had the moral high ground. They've been told it's bye-bye time. The lights are going off in America, basically, politically. They said the hell they are. And so Pelosi asked, what do the Russians have on Trump? What do they have on Trump? They have nothing on Trump. Trump is being advised to make an alliance with Russia because they're not a threat to the United States. And if we get them as an ally, it's a checkmate against the globalists and the Chinese. And I'm not against the Chinese people either, but the horrible communists that run it. Here's Nancy Pelosi.
But let me just go back to the first part of the senator's statement. I want to know what the Russians have on Donald Trump, I think we have to have that investigation by the FBI into his financial, personal, and political connections to Russia. Okay. And we want to see his tax returns so we can have truth in the relationship between Putin, whom he admires.
But I want to go back to the issue of Democrats having lost touch.
Democrats having lost touch. How do we con people again? Let's claim we're reinvented. So there you go. The Clintons wouldn't release their foundation info. Trump shouldn't have to release his tax returns either. I'm sick of all this crap. I'm tired of having to like publish all the handgun owners in cities on the internet so they can get robbed or harassed. You scumbags, we see you. We're going to beat you. Thank God for Trump. They're trying to cause a worldwide depression right now.
Answer to 1984 is 1776. You're listening to the Alex Jones Show.
Look at Drudge Report today and the theme that's emerging. Automation. Amazon plans store, which employs only two humans. Inside robot-run supermarket. You see that? And it goes on and on and on. They're building a world where we're obsolete, and the elites are saying that's the case, and then herding us into these compact cities, and then our only new job will be social engineering and complying with social directives. And that only establishes, again, the kind of ghost dance cult for the full collapse of the species. This is a social engineering, scientific, cultural takedown program beyond any alien invasion science fiction movie you've ever read or seen. But it's not aliens doing it. It's guilds of psychopaths that have decided we're overpopulated, that humans don't deserve to go into the future, that we don't matter, and so we need to be killed. And we're led by scum who should go first, like Nancy Pelosi. I mean, look at Chelsea Clinton being part of stealing billions of dollars from Haitians, all of her parents' crimes. Then she puts out a book, guaranteed this lazy fop didn't write it, Governing Global Health, Who Runs the World and Why? And they say, oh, global government's really health crises and the global groups that will respond to health crises. Yes, Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation openly through the vaccines giving people all sorts of different diseases. They've been caught doing it. It's been in the major news. But it's so nightmarish and so big, it's like they're too big to fail. And our fall is their rise. They need us to fall for them to rise. Now, we have Milo Yiannopoulos, the dangerous faggot, as he calls himself, joining us here for like 10 minutes in the next segment. His book isn't even out till March 15th. And it's already number one on Amazon. It'll guarantee go to number one on the New York Times. And this is all because they continue to try to censor him when he simply asks, why is the left so anti-free speech? Because the left is the operating system of the globalists. It isn't left or right. It's the operating system. The Republicans and the Tories in England are just the loyal opposition. And they want to end free speech and bring in an authoritarian system. That's their admission. So it's not like they're misguided beating people up and attacking people who try to attend a speech, including members of the press that go, hey, I'm liberal. Ah, shut up, white male. Boom. Punch them in the nose. It's that's what they're normalizing. That they're wonderful heroes when they beat up a woman, when 25 guys do. But when you just have speech and say we have a right to not be under Obamacare, well, you're a racist who hates our first black president. I haven't even gotten to all this yet today, but after he leaves us, Super Bowl viewers see correlation between outcome and election. I love it. They created all these sports that are really for children to get men to be in arrested development, never make anything of themselves in life. It's also an alternate career, you know, that doesn't threaten the elite. Oh, no, we don't want some of the most dominant, aggressive men in politics or life or even the military. We want you to go to college so you can hope to be in one of these myriad sports teams. Even though it's like 1 out of 10,000 you'll ever make a living at it, show that by the time you figure out you've had your life destroyed, all you can do is be a coach at age 30. And by the way, the modern guy in France that created the new Olympics, wrote books admitting all this as a way to control the public. And Hitler picked up on it as well and did the first big Olympics in 36. This is not my opinion. A lot of folks who are addicted to video games or sports go, oh, shut up, Alex. Listen, I'm just telling you, you know, it's meant to take your life over. Okay? And I get the rich and powerful use it to, you know, hijack fame and control. And I kind of like the Patriots winning because, you know, they're called the Patriots and Trump's called them every year, right? And it's just part of the winning streak. And we better bet on Trump's winning streak because they're openly trying to plunge the global economy right now. I'm going to get more into that as well coming up. Stay with us.
But you want to fight? You better believe you've got one!
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
I actually like that. It's like I'm an elf or a chipmunk now. That speeds up. I love computers. They do the craziest things. Sometimes, like, we'll have a clip we're playing and it jumps or something. People think, well, you know, we've edited it. No, ladies and gentlemen, no tricks here. I'm too lazy to do that. Milo Yiannopoulos is our guest just for about 10 minutes. He's going to be back on Wednesday via video Skype, Breitbart.com/Milo. He's their tech editor. Nobody needs to be introduced to Milo. He's one of the biggest media icons out there now, not just because they've protested him and tried to block his free speech, but he's also an articulate guy. And his book, Dangerous, is already number one on Amazon a month before it even comes out. Amazing. So the countdown for that is happening. We'll talk more about the book on Wednesday. And Milo and I are also planning something on the street in the next few weeks that's exciting. We won't tell you about that until right before because of obviously the enemies that are out there. But Milo, congratulations. Pointing out how the First Amendment is really under attack.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you for having me. How are you, darling? I love your introduction music, by the way. It's all very dramatic. It feels like we're in an episode of 300 or something. It's wonderful. I've been having so much fun on the college tour right up until, I guess, you know, the West Coast. And then UC Davis, UW Seattle, UC Berkeley, things went dark. And we had the paid, black-clothed anarchists, you know, these well-organized, well-funded anarchists coming in and causing mayhem. And the progressive left refuses to disavow it, refuses to say this is terrible, that people should be allowed to express their views no matter what their views are. It's absolutely terrible for the left to bring themselves to, you know, to hold to basic principles. You know, Voltaire, I hate what you say, but I'll defend your right to say it, whatever. This shows the left that they're most sinister and authoritarian. And that's why my book, as you say, and thanks for bringing it up, is shot to number one. At the top of the Amazon bestseller list. And interestingly, the three books at the top of the Amazon bestseller list this morning are The Handmaid's Tale, 1984, and Me. And that, I think, gives you some indication of how America is feeling about the ruling elite.
Absolutely. And now Le Pen is way ahead in the polls. The Brexit's happened. We've got Italy saying no to EU expansion. This is amazing. I mean, I think we've reached a major tipping point. And no matter what George Soros or Nancy Pelosi do, Milo, I don't see them reversing it.
No, neither do I. I mean, this becomes a point, you know, beyond which myth into people through the media and all the other various bits of the rigged system that were pointed in Hillary's favor in the last election just don't work against the colossal, you know, volume of people who are just sick of being lied to and lied about, sick of having, you know, their lives ruled over, sick of being ruled over by people who think that they know how we should speak and what we should read and what we should know, how we should express ourselves. You know, people are tired of this now. They're tired of policies that benefit global elites and don't benefit regular people, and they're voting accordingly. And, you know, all of the rigging and vote whatever and fake news and all the rest of it can't really fight this global nationalist populist uprising. It's very exciting to watch for those of us, you know, like you and I, who share so many sympathies with people who are voting out of frustration with the elite.
Certainly. And then even when Trump comes out and says, I like the Patriots, been friends with the quarterback and the coach and the owner for years, they make it then about white supremacism, even though it's black players that, you know, I mean, won the game. I mean, along with the, it's just crazy. It just shows how they project their race obsession on everything.
That's exactly what happened. These people are obsessed with interpreting the world through the prism of skin color, sexuality, and gender. And they assume everybody else does it like they do. We don't. Which is why, you know, the rest of us, and I mean the rest of us, because the social justice contingent, Hollywood, media, you know, the entertainment industry, the academia, and a couple of bozos on Twitter have been exposed as the minority. And for a long time, you know, we were thinking, God, is it just us? You know, the people sort of sitting at home alone and in their bedrooms reading the internet thinking, my God, am I insane? But no, you're not insane. Most people actually think more like you than they think like them. And all of America is just sitting back and laughing at the progressive left trying to turn this into a race thing. It's pathetic.
Exactly. I want to play just a short compilation of women being attacked at your event last week at Berkeley in San Francisco and other events, and then CNN reporters laughing, saying, oh, poor white people. And then, of course, we have the woman running for the DNC chair saying, I'm white, but my job is to make sure whites don't get privilege and that you get privilege. Oh, this is like the KKK. Oh, Let's play this clip. Here it is, Milo.
You voted Trump! You voted Trump!
Oh, yeah. Oh my goodness, poor Trump. White people. Please, oh my, stop.
So, this is only getting worse and worse. You were there. You had to be taken out. You had a bulletproof vest on. They're saying kill you. And then CNN played a clip of them throwing firebombs at you. And then they said Milo's a flamethrower while they said that, implying it was you doing it.
And you know the other thing that CNN did, Don Lemon had on Robert Reich, who was in the Clinton administration, who alleged, on the basis of no evidence, the most appalling and outrageous thing I think I've ever heard. And this is a moment when a lot of my fans, I mean, you know, I haven't been on the scene for as long as you, Alex, but I'm starting to, you know, to amass a decent amount of support in America, and I now have a reasonable number of people who like me, who follow what I do, and it was just this moment of slack-jawed horror when people finally realized that everything that we've been saying about the media is true. When on CNN, Robert Reich, who used to be in the Clinton administration, who's now a professor at UC Berkeley, said, I wouldn't be surprised if Milo hired those guys himself, alleging that Breitbart had paid for 150 armed, organized anarchist protesters to beat up our own audience.
And then he went further.
That's what he suggested. And Don Lemon didn't call him out on it. Don Lemon asked him to expand on it. And then the guy, Robert Reich, writes it again, saying, I wouldn't bet against it in Newsweek. This is CNN and Newsweek pushing, like, you know, insane, literally insane conspiracy theories. It's amazing.
It is. And he went on to say, basically, that it was right-wingers that rioted. When I was there in D.C. for the inauguration, I mean, I couldn't even get to the deplorable because it was so out of control, them trying to beat and attack and throw feces at people. And then meanwhile, I know you were attacked as well and had trouble even being there. Then meanwhile, it took me hours to get into the entrances to the inauguration because they were attacking men, women, and children while they screamed, no violence, no violence. Why are you violent? So is there a method to their madness? We know they're being directed by the big foundations, by Soros, Milo.
Well, you know, we're trying to find out as much as we can for sure about this. One thing that is certain is that these people, it's the same people, they keep popping up. They're very well-funded and well-organized, and they appear anytime someone like you or me or Trump, you know, is trying to give a public speech or an event. Now, the thing I actually find more worrying is that the police, particularly on campuses, are adopting a position now of not engaging them. Their position is it's better for a few people to get beaten up, and who knows, sooner or later somebody might get killed, and it's better for a few windows and a few ATMs to get smashed than for them to go in and for there to be, you know, police on protester violence. But we should be calling this stuff what it is. It's domestic terrorism. It is a textbook dictionary definition of domestic terrorism, and we should be honest about what this stuff is, and we should be policing it properly. And, you know, as I said on Judge Jeanine on Fox the other day, Donald Trump needs to immediately withdraw federal funding from colleges like UC Berkeley that refuse to defend.
Absolutely. If a university, If a university wouldn't let gay activists have an event, or black activists, or Jewish activists, or whoever have an event, or anybody, a ornithologist convention, if you're not letting free speech happen and students have their own events, then that place should have its funding pulled, just like some of the southern universities had theirs pulled. And in closing, in the last 3 or 4 minutes we have left with you, Milo, we'll expand on Wednesday. We're coming back for a full hour. This is just crazy because the police are being ordered to stand down, just like we learned in other cities. The Obama Justice Administration was ordering stand downs. They ordered it in D.C. for the inauguration so they could attack people. This is really their bullying tactic. And then they call you and I and Trump bullies. I'd like you to respond to that. And then the courage you have, how you decided to have the courage over and over again when you're getting death threats. You say you're going back to Berkeley. Tell us about that.
Of course I am, because these people don't scare me, and they shouldn't be allowed. They, just 100 idiots, whether they have bottled knives, Molotov cocktails, or whatever, it shouldn't be any match for the First Amendment. So screw them. So yes, I'm going back to Berkeley for sure, sometime in the next, I hope, 2 months. We're going to do a big march. I'm going to invite all my friends down. We're going to, I want the message to be: if you get an event canceled by a conservative or a libertarian or a free-thinking speaker, not only will we come back, but we'll bring our friends. And we'll do speeches every month for the following year.
Exactly.
We not only will bring our friends, we'll bring our security, we'll bring our audiences, and we will have free speech, free-thinker events on your campus every month for a year. And we will convert so many more students over to Donald Trump and to libertarianism and to republicanism and to whatever bit of the ecosystem they hate. We will convert so many more people as a result of your attempt to shut down our speech. You will wish you had never left the house that day. That's absolutely what we're going to be doing.
Well, I'm saying now, I'm going to join you for the First Amendment when you go back, and I want to tell my listeners who are millions across the country and millions of California to be there peacefully, and I suspect these cowards aren't going to show up. They want to show up at your events with no announcement and attack a bunch of people and try to get away with it. But I think the sleeping giant's awakening. Last question. Why do you think they're so politically blind to the fact that what they're doing is turning the world against them? And why do you think the elites continue to fund an attempt at civil war, cop killing, you name it?
Well, I think it's arrogance. I think it's complacency. For 30 years, the left has run academia, it's run the entertainment industry, and it's run the media, unopposed and unchallenged. And it's been able to lay down the law about what you can say, what you can read, how you can dress. Political correctness, language codes, speech policing have become embedded in the last decade because the left basically hasn't had a credible or effective opposition in the form of, a strong Republican candidate or cultural figures, like I think you and I are, actually, that can actually present a robust challenge to them. With the effect that they've been able to do things like distorting language, calling for book burnings while calling the other side fascist. I mean, this stuff is preposterous and hypocritical.
And by the way, in closing, because I know you come back Wednesday, that's it. That's happened to you. Banned off Twitter, banned off all these other platforms for just saying Ghostbusters is a big joke, and it was a big failure.
For making them fat jokes. The standard now in America is you make a fat joke about the wrong person and you lose your platform. Well, America has responded to that, and America has replied to the progressive left, replied to Silicon Valley, replied to the media, and voted with their wallets and put my book at number one. It's called Dangerous, and you can go find it on Amazon.
That's right. Yiannopoulos.net. Dangerous is the book. Well, let's talk about this on Wednesday, but talk about your vision to defeat them into the future and where you think these culture wars are going. Milo, thank you so much for your defense of the First Amendment.
Can't wait, buddy. Talk to you soon. Take care.
You bet. Well, I met him up in Cleveland, and he was kind of nervous when he first came on the show for like an hour. And then we went over and with the crew and had some drinks with him over at the Ritz-Carlton, and then got to know him, and then he kind of warmed up, and then I learned the guy really is a patriot. I mean, I never criticized him. I just have totally supported the First Amendment, and I think the way the media works is they always make stuff up to create infighting. And I guess it said some stuff to Milo or whatever about me that wasn't true. But it's good to know him now and good to see him exploding. I mean, I think it's very, very exciting. See, I don't see this as competition that, Milo's this giant meteoric rise and is reaching all these young people. I love it. I don't look at Paul Watson that works for me for 16 years becoming, in some respects, as big as I am. I hope he gets 5 times bigger. Like, I've even told Paul, if you ever figure out a platform or a system more effective than this one, I'm going to give you my full support even if you leave InfoWars. And he's like, oh, no, I'm not leaving InfoWars. You know, I love you, Alex. You're doing a great job. Just give me the autonomy to do what I want to do my way. And I'm like, absolutely. But that's what real leadership is building new systems, founding new cities, launching new ships, launching new personalities, launching new movements. That's what I care about. I sincerely want to turn the tide so bad against globalism that I have to get people to restrain themselves, not to turn into authoritarians to rout out the globalist. Those that have committed crimes must be prosecuted, but I don't want to become them when we're, you know, basically cleaning them up. I want to do it very judiciously, by the book, by common law, by the Constitution. But I'm not going to take pleasure in it. And some obviously will have to be executed. I mean, pedophiles and people and, you know, devil worshipers, I mean, you're going to have to die. You know, if you've been killing kids and we find you with a bunch of dead bodies, you know, you're going to get a jury trial. And you're going to, it's not, you're not going to be on death row for 20 years, bro. You're going to be dead in about a year. So just get ready. We're going to kill you. So just be prepared. And I don't say that to act tough. It's just I need to be honest with people what we're dealing with here. You kill kids, we're coming for you. And I know you've been doing it. And God hears their screams. And you know what? God is ascending vengeance. So just get ready. And by the way, I'm not the one that's going to deliver the vengeance. I'm just ringing the drum. Boom, boom. I'm the war drum. I'm just ceremonially up here banging the drum. And you see the armies and the fires at night as the camps build. And as people shift gears into reality, and as the army forms. But yes, those of you that have done horrible things, war crimes, you name it, those of you that organize giant frauds to defraud the public and steal trillions and, you know, establish planetary regimes at the expense of humanity, those of you that have spliced humans with animals and engaged in incredible abominations, you must be made examples of so that others fear ever doing what you've done. I'll put it this way. If you don't fear God, we're going to make you fear man. That's how God works. And of course, then they will fear God. I'm going to try to really focus and come back and just briefly recap as strong as I can and get some other news I haven't hit concerning the fact they're trying to blow our political engine right now, and that means blow our financial engine. If anybody ever had a question about Trump because he appointed some high-powered bankers to the administration, look at what he's done. It's anti-Goldman Sachs, anti-New World Order. You judge a tree by its fruits. It's like you go into some old, you know, dive place and it says they've got the best chili or whatever, and you eat it and it tastes like mother's milk. You know why there's a line out the door. You see some big fancy place that nobody's going in. You just don't go in there because nobody's in there eating the food. You judge a tree by its fruits. You see a bunch of monkeys in a big fruit tree eating the fruit. You see another tree, and you don't know what kind of fruit it is. Let's say you crash your airplane in, you know, Burma. And they'll tell you in any survival book, if you don't know the flora, you know, in your area, the flora and fauna, you watch what the animals are doing. You see a big old tree, it looks like it's got big juicy fruit in it, but the monkeys aren't eating it. But you see monkeys in a bush eating some other little fruit. Well, what does that mean? It means you can eat that fruit. Well, man, Trump's got the most delicious, juicy fruit I've ever seen. It's so good, it kind of makes me think, whoa, this is almost too good to be true. But then I see the enemy saying kill him and getting away with it, calling for civil war, trying to block his tax cuts, trying to raise interest rates, and Bloomberg, AP, Reuters, CNBC, every financial outfit saying, crash, crash, market crash, crash the dollar, crash the dollar, with George Soros hopping up and down like a demon with a pitchfork up on the roof leading the whole conductor, the whole symphony. And it's like, man, folks, if you don't stand up for Trump, you're an idiot. It's ridiculous. And he's got luck on his side. He's got providence. I think the Patriots probably won because he said they would. I'm serious. That's how providence works. With George Washington, it got so bad at the end when they were fighting 5-1, then 10-1, and more British landed 15-1. The British started going, what the hell's this guy got? Superpowers? Because everything they did turned against him. Not for the first half of the war, though. But they had to keep going, keep going, keep going with George Washington's will. set against them. And they could feel his will. But he was only a focal point of God blasting through him. And we have to do that. I'm telling you, God is blasting through Donald Trump. Blasting. I'm spiritually discerning. I'm tuned in, folks. And he's blasting now. I mean, I can hardly even just like, whoa. It's like, man, whoa, that's bright. That's power. Right? Whoa. And the enemy sees it, too. They're like, ah, 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 ah. Yeah. Excuse me. Now, let me just stop right there. I need to fund this operation. You know, we have Milo on. I want to get a bunch of his book and sell it. Because we need to fund our operation and spread cultural, you know, awakening. And whether Milo's your cup of tea or not, it doesn't matter. He's reaching all the trendies and liberals and breaking their conditioning, and that's why they hate him so much. So the Lord works in mysterious ways. The point is that we have to end this special today, and it will end today. When I tell you I have contracts on these specials and people want me to stop these because other distributors are really upset, we got phone calls yesterday saying, you better not run that a few extra days like you always do. You have to end the 25% off. They're already lowest price because I have to get special agreement to even do this. Because, again, the other distributors don't like it. Well, I'm sorry. We have the Alexa Pure Breeze, the best system out there for the price, for $149. We have the water filtration system for $147. The leading competitor for something not even as good is $250. You cannot beat these deals. They end tonight at midnight, Central Time. InfoWarsStore.com, InfoWarsLife.com, Nutraceuticals. We've got some specials there. They're going to have to end. Supermail is about to sell out. We have 20% off on Roger Stone's book. Look at $24.95, big hardcover with all these color photos. That's a great deal. It's a piece of history signed by Roger Stone. I say I'm going to sign 15,000 of them, but I don't know if I can do that. It's just as long as my hand can handle it. So I got to sign like 1,000 today. It's available, InfoWarsStore.com. InfoWarsStore.com, making it with President, 20% off. We have 10% off our amazing vitamin B12. Secret 12, methylcobalamin, 10% off on that. InfoWarsLife.com is the subpage for the supplements. InfoWarsStore.com is the umbrella site. And man, we're in a war. I want to win. That's what I care about. I hate seeing them create global zoning to rip off and hurt poor people. I hate seeing them put cancer viruses in vaccines. I just hate seeing them getting away with all this stuff. I want to beat them. I want to win. The globalists don't like seeing you succeed. They have a twisted competitiveness about them that's a cancer. So thank you all for your support. God bless you. And thanks for the fellow that bought us a couple bowls of chili at the Texas Chili Parlor yesterday. Thank you too, buddy. We'll be back.
I will not let you down. You'll be very, very impressed, I hope. And I think we'll be speaking a lot. Donald Trump and Alex Jones.
This means that Donald Trump will be the 45th president of the United States.
Waging war on corruption. It's
Alex Jones.
And we're back. I want to open the phones up specifically on what you think about the move by Goldman Sachs and JP Morgan to announce that the stock market should go down, and to tell their shareholders and to tell people that own different stocks and bonds that they control that they should start dumping them and the dollar. When Trump's saying, believe in America, invest, get involved, I mean, that's how we're going to keep this collapse from taking place. And now you see these open enemies moving against Trump. This should silence everyone that keeps saying he's run by Goldman Sachs when everything he does is the opposite of policies Goldman Sachs and J.P. Morgan support. The toll-free number to join us is 800-259-9231, 800-259-9231. Before I go any further, I want to play the most viewed video in the history of Numbers USA that breaks down the scientific facts of what massive, unbridled third world immigration does to a wealthy country. And after we come back, I'm going to continue getting into the attempts to just say even our president has no right to control who comes into this country. Anybody can come here and just basically stay here as long as they are a political tool. Here's the report, World Poverty and Gumballs, number USA.
All told, the World Bank says there are 3 billion people in the world, 3 billion people who are desperately poor, making less than $2 a day. That's 3,000 gumballs. And every year, we take a million and suggest that we've somehow made a humanitarian difference. Of course, we don't pull our immigrants from these desperately poor populations, do we? These people are too poor, too sick, too disconnected to make it here as immigrants. We tend to pull our immigrants out of the better off poor of the world. And Mexico tends to define the type of immigrant that we bring here because the plurality of people come from Mexico. And Mexico is poor. How many people in the world live in countries that have average incomes lower than that of Mexico? And the World Bank tells us that that number is these 3 billion plus another 2.6 billion people. 5.6 billion people in the world who live in countries with average incomes below that of Mexico. That's 5,600 gumballs. And so what is it that the elites are telling us? They're telling us that when we take this 1 million immigrants, that we somehow or another are tackling world poverty. And we have to do it regardless of the effect on our unemployed, the working poor, the most vulnerable members of our society, regardless of the effect on our natural resources. Even if we went by the most radical proposals in Washington, which are to actually double our immigration to 2 million a year, which would totally overwhelm our physical, natural, and social infrastructures, we couldn't make a noticeable difference. And we may be really hurting the impoverished people of the world because the million that we do take are among the most energetic, often the better educated, certainly the most dissatisfied people that if they did not immigrate would be the agents for change to improve the lot of all the people in these countries. The true heroes in the global humanitarian field are the people in these countries who have the wherewithal to immigrate to another country, but instead stay in their countries to apply their skills to help their fellow countrymen. Unfortunately, our immigration system tends to entice these very type of people to abandon their countrymen. The impossibility of making even a dent is actually worse than it looks here. Because last year, when we took 1 million immigrants, these countries added, births over deaths, 80 million more people into the impoverished population. And this year, Congress is bringing in 1 million legal immigrants. And this year, according to the United Nations, these countries are expected to add another 80 million people. And next year, you can be quite sure that Congress, unless stopped by the American voters, will bring in another 1 million immigrants. And these countries, unfortunately, will be adding another 80 million people into these impoverished nations. We could take 5 million a year, but we'd never get ahead of what's happening in these countries. Not in this century. Don't you see? Immigration can never be an effective or significant way to deal with the suffering people of the world. They have to be helped where they live. 99.9% of them will never be able to immigrate to a rich country. There's no hope for that. They have to bloom where they're planted. The only place that 99.9% of these people can be helped is where they live. Let's help them there.
And let's put their URL back up on screen for folks so they can see that. Go get that video and share it. We'll obviously post this to InfoWars.com. We'll post it to YouTube as well so people on our video list can see it as well. NumbersUSA.org. And I've always wanted to get that fellow on. In fact, I'd like to fly him here with his gumballs to do his presentation because you cannot argue with those facts. And let me break something down. The Royal Commission on Population in 1949 said the third world is going to overpopulate for their resources and we could go in and industrialize them very quickly, but then they would be competitors to the West and our colonialism. So instead, we're just going to encourage their overpopulation and then use that to basically exploit those populations and only have certain development zones within the countries so they don't actually get the industry for themselves. They don't get the first world status. But we exploit them and then come and dominate the West and consolidate control here. Now, I learned about the Royal Commission whenever I was given, like 18 years ago, by Lyndon LaRouche acolyte, one of their quarterly intelligence reports. But back then, the internet wasn't very accurate or wasn't very detailed. There wasn't a lot of stuff you could find on it. I went to the UT library, and I actually had them pull out of the stacks a synopsis in a UT review from the 50s of the World Population Forum and the commission on it that had been established by His Royal Highness in England in 1949, Queen Elizabeth II's father. And it wasn't the whole report, but it was many pages of it and footnotes admitting just what Lyndon LaRouche had said, who, by the way, was in OSS and then CIA, obviously, and a lot of other things. Ronald Reagan would meet with him weekly. He'd fly up by helicopter to meet with him at the White House. That was before Reagan got shot, but Reagan was reading his stuff and was impressed with him. And they get really worried about presidents that listen to people that understand what's going on. Because you can say what you want about the LaRouche group. I don't agree with their policies, how they want to fix things. It's very socialist, but at least it's infrastructure-based and human-based. So it's a real liberal system that is really honorable and very respectable. I'm not part of that group. I'm just telling you that what they propose is very real. Okay? And he's been a guest on many times. He's over, like, 92 years old now, and we haven't been able to get him on lately for obvious reasons, but he was still totally there about 2 years ago when I last interviewed him. Truly amazing. They were Quakers, so he wouldn't go into combat, wouldn't have a gun. But instead, they put him in all sorts of really dangerous situations all over India and China during World War II. That guy saw a lot. And SDI was his idea, so much more. But I don't want to go off on a jag about Lyndon LaRouche. I want to go to your phone calls after this clip I'm going to play. It's just that people say, oh, we're not overpopulated. Everybody in the world can live in Texas. Yeah, but they couldn't live with a life. And I don't agree with the globalists wanting to forcibly depopulate or sterilize people. The point is, they let it bloom. Now they're acting like they're going to do something with sterilants and vaccines. We're overpopulated for the technology we have. If we innovate, and if we did things with, like, new energy systems, many of the statistics and research papers show we could actually really, really produce an even larger population. But here's the truth. The population is going to peak at 9 billion in the next 15 years. It's going to start declining and then start collapsing because if you don't have 2.1 children for every two adults, civilization begins to unravel. They believe robotics and stuff is going to keep that from happening, but they're really using robotics just to get rid of humans altogether. So a very nasty world's being built, and if they would have industrialized Latin America, Africa, and other countries, and not just, and I know Africa is a continent, and other regions, then people would have had two children on average or even less, and you wouldn't have this issue and there wouldn't be needs for advancing technology. But now we're sitting on top of a gigantic 6+ billion time bomb. Understand that Mexico is on the high end of wealthy poor countries. Everybody wants to get to Mexico. You go to some areas of Mexico, it looks sewage down the street, people that are starving, corrupt police, it's scary. But there's some highly cultured areas and great art and great literature and great movies. And Mexico's got what it takes. They've just never gotten out from under colonialism. With some of the best food, best movies, best music, best art, architecture. Mexico's got everything it needs. Resources, too, but never got under from El Jefes that want to keep people poor to control them. It's called serfdom. It's called feudalism. And that's what the globalists have established worldwide. And they want it here in America and in Europe now. And they're trying to bankrupt Trump's plan to reboot the West and the Renaissance and then empower the third world and make deals everywhere. You can't have a one-sided deal that helps the third world because it doesn't even help them. It helps the globalists use the one-sided deal to play monopoly in the West and consolidate control. We've been part of an economic war, folks, not an economy. We've been paying for it. It's been at our expense to build the world government for the New World Order. And Stephen Bannon writes white papers explaining that. That's why they want Bannon out of there. They're horrified of Bannon. He gets the whole thing. Bannon used to be a big liberal, big union guy, but he really wanted to help people. That's what they're doing right now, trying to get loans to small businesses. People ought to be kissing the feet of Trump. If you're a black American, you ought to be kissing his feet. If you're a white American, you should be kissing his feet. Because let me tell you something. These people are really committed. Just look at the look on Bannon's face right there. That's a guy on a suicide mission. He looks satisfied. He looks focused. He knows what he's doing. He knows the show. He doesn't have that normal narcissistic nutball look in his eyes. But forget how he looks. But doesn't he look like a nice guy, a smart guy? Look at his actions. And it's the same thing across the board, except when you get to the Republicans he brought in. Now, I promised to get to this, so I'm going to play it, and then we'll get to your calls to Ken and Kimberly and Judy and Chris and Donald. But here's just part of this Mark Dice video, the craziest social justice warriors on earth. Because it's important to look at how dumbed down the people are we're facing. And it's not something we celebrate and make fun of. This is to show what they've done to these people. Here it is.
The Confederate flags are coming down to end the era of racism, and it's time to implement a new American flag for the new America. And so getting some signatures here. Print, birth it in a signature. The old stars and stripes represent the old world, the imperialistic America, and this petition's going to implement a new American flag, banning the current American flag. Thank you for supporting that. And another signature there. What we were thinking is maybe like a pyramid or something to represent the new world order and the new America. And so just to replace, the petition is to replace the current American flag. It's a new flag for the new world order, wouldn't you agree? Time for that. Appreciate your support. Thank you. And part of ending the discrimination against the transgender people in the bathrooms is we're going to be installing some urinals into the women's bathrooms to accommodate the trans women who still have a penis so that they don't feel like they're not welcome there anymore. Makes so makes sense. Just
I think everyone should just use the same bathrooms.
Well, that might be the next step, but this petition will birthday and signature. This petition, like I said, will start installing urinals into the women's bathrooms to help accommodate the trans or the gender non-binary or gender non-conforming and gender fluid people as well. So, thanks for supporting that. Cool, appreciate that. Just trying to stop Donald Trump any way we can. So by getting the illegal aliens,
supposed to print?
Okay, you can print there then, I guess. Just trying to get the illegal aliens allowed to vote this election to stop Donald Trump. So we figure desperate times call for desperate measures. Thank you for supporting that. The white privilege tax, just a small 1% on the Caucasians to help fund programs in the minority community. We're gonna take that silver spoon out of the white people's mouths. We're gonna put it back into yours.
Appreciate it, man.
You guys deserve that.
Aren't you white?
Yeah, but you know what? I have enjoyed the white privilege myself, so I'm trying to give back to the African American community with the white privilege tax.
Thanks, man. Appreciate that.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
All right.
You signed the petition to put Obama on Mount Rushmore? I'm trying to darken it up a little bit.
Oh, really?
Yeah. There's a bunch of old white men up there, so I think he probably deserves a place in history up there, one of the greatest presidents ever.
say?
Do you support Obama and repealing the Bill of Rights?
Yeah, sure.
Just a name and a signature. We're doing everything we can to help Obama modernize the Bill of Rights in today's new world order, today's society. So we're helping to support him repealing the Bill of Rights. Birth date, please, to repeal the Bill of Rights. I don't think we really need those. And a signature to repeal the Bill of Rights as well. You just helped us repeal the Bill of Rights. Thanks, bro. Microwaves have kind of replaced them. It's the old microwave. But if you want a pressure cooker, just submit to a background check first, and that way we can be sure to be safe.
So a lot of restaurants use them for roasting meats, but that's the only thing I can think of.
You're listening to Alex Jones.
In Florida at a military base, I guess close to Special Operations Command and Air Force Base, talking about strengthening the U.S. military but not letting a bunch of fraud, waste, and abuse go on, talking about taking care of veterans, things like that. Let's play a few minutes of this. Sorry, callers, but you're getting preempted by the president. We will get to Kimberly and Kevin and Judy and Chris and Donald and everybody else. Here's the president being introduced.
Thank you all. We have tremendous spirit, and I want to thank you. We had a wonderful election, didn't we? And I saw those numbers. And you like me, and I like you. That's the way it worked. I'm honored to be here today among so many of our really and truly great heroes. I want to begin by thanking General Votel and General Thomas for their distinguished leadership and service on behalf of our country. Very, very outstanding people. I'd also like to thank General Dunford, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. That's big stuff when you have the chairman. Where is it? Joe, stand up for a second. This is one of the great people. Thank you. Also, Commander Vogel and everyone serving at MacDill Air Force Base. Quite a place. And we're going to be loading it up with beautiful new planes and beautiful new equipment. You've been lacking a little equipment. We're going to load it up. You're going to get a lot of equipment. Believe me. So importantly also, let me thank all of the coalition partners and their representatives assembled here today. We proudly, very proudly, stand with you. And we will be fighting for your security. They're fighting for our security and freedom. Let me recognize our great governor and a very good friend of mine. And
just to fade this down for a minute, I was walking in and saw he was giving a speech and was just kind of guessing where he was at because I knew which air base it was. He's at the U.S. Central Command headquarters. Keep going.
You can talk, but it never means the same. But this man is a great, great governor and has done a fantastic job. Rick Scott, governor, stand up, please.
Called an all-hands address. Again, I backed this up about 5 minutes. He's already into it.
Finally, on behalf of the entire nation, let me express our gratitude to all members, and I mean all members, of our military serving in the United States Central Command and the United States Special Operations Command. We salute the Army, Marine Corps, Navy, Air Force, and Coast Guard, along with our civilian defense personnel who are so important to the success of what we're doing. Let me also recognize the military families and spouses who bravely shoulder the burdens of war. I want every military family in this country to know that our administration is at your service. We stand with you 100%. We will protect those who protect us, and we will never, ever let you down. As your president, I have no higher duty than to protect the American people.
All right, let's stop right there. I've got Doug Hagmann coming up with big breaking the unspoken word Pizzagate. If you even say it, they delist you on YouTube, iTunes, you name it. When all we're doing is covering what has really developed there since then, confirming a lot of what the NYPD first told us. But I promise to go to calls. So I'm going to back Hagman up, tell him he'll do the rest of the hour, just about 15 after. Hagman will be fine with it. Great guy. So that I can go to your calls, Kevin and Kimberly and Judy and Chris and Donald and a few others. And then we'll also open the phones up specifically on Pizzagate, because a lot of fake news got put out on that, not by us, but by MSM as straw men to then attach to us. But now since then, a lot's coming out, and pedophile networks are getting arrested by the hundreds all over the country, because now President Trump's taking the gloves off. GCNlive.com today.
The march. The empire is on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
I should have plugged for the last 2 hours that Doug Hagman was coming on. Anthony Weiner may get slapped with child pornography charges. You heard that here first from our NYPD sources. Then I talked to Hagman. He had other sources. Off air, he gave me the sources. They were separate from mine. And it just gets worse from there. 474 arrested, 28 sexually exploited children rescued, statewide human trafficking operation. I mean, this is going on all over, folks. This is big. So that's coming up. And it makes me so angry. They're trying to implode the economy right now to stop Trump and admitting they're doing it. I mean, it's like at a certain point, Bloomberg and Soros and these globalists and the Rockefellers and all the rest of them just need to stop it. Trump's going to let you keep all your stolen wealth. Just stop trying to make us poor, man. You're super uncool. You're super uncool. People like that don't have a very long shelf life, in my humble opinion. And for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. We're getting sick of you thinking you're above the law. Let's go ahead and go to Judy in Florida. You're on the air, Judy. What do you make of... I thought Trump worked for Goldman Sachs. They didn't give him any money. They gave all the money to Hillary, and now they're openly trying to plunge the stock market to stop him. I mean, I thought he worked for Goldman Sachs.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, anything is going to be said by any globalist talking head, including a Paul Ryan, that they're going to find ways of breaking the confidence of the American people, and of course, Goldman Sachs is going to be one to say, yeah, go on ahead and sell off your stocks. You know, it's good for you to do. And you know, Trump's a loser. He's killing the economy. I mean, it's pretty ridiculous.
And so that's the bad guys trying to wreck the economy like we're stupid. They admit they're trying to wreck it to stop Trump. As if they won't get the blame, they think Trump will get the blame. But see, they're talking to their constituents that are stupid. So what should we do about this?
Well, hopefully Trump's going to be able to stay alive and be in office long enough that the only thing that I agreed with the LaRouche Political Action Committee gets re-implemented, and that's Glass-Steagall.
More thing I forgot to mention he's trying to do right now. It's like he's doing so much good, I can't even think of it all. There's so much. Because every time I think I've thought of it all, there's one more.
There is something else that I wanted to bring up to you that is of extreme importance to me, and I think it would be an excellent guest for you. This is a gentleman that grew up in Egypt. He's a Baptist Christian, and his father was too. He preached a lot, and he got, of course, persecuted because of it. But he was also taught on a compulsory level the Quran and Sharia, and he has written a book. I've seen this gentleman in person 3 times now. He's written a book called The Generous Quran, which is a literal translation of the Arabic into English with footnotes. And this guy's an extraordinary wealth of knowledge about the Quran, and people need to understand.
What's his name? We'll look into getting him on.
Usama Dakdok. USAMA Dakdok. DAKDOK. You need to have him on your show.
I actually have had other people contact me. I don't even know who these people are. They're like text messaging my phone. They got my number saying I should have him on. So I will definitely look into it. He comes recommended by other folks as well. not just people battling to get my phone number. So I will look into it. God bless you, and I appreciate your call. But, I mean, just in closing, I hate to fawn over Trump, but I really find no fault at this point, which is head spinning. I appreciate your call. We're going to come back and go to Kevin and Kimberly and Chris and Donald, and then I'll get to others with Hagman. I feel like I could broadcast for like 10 hours today, but I'm just so frustrated because it's like, it's so horrible. Globalism is so evil. They admit it's evil. And I don't even hate these idiots that are out there burning stuff and attacking women. I feel sorry for them because they're so stupid. I mean, they don't know anything. They can't even talk. But they have a spirit of evil, don't they? It just makes me so sad. All Trump's trying to do is help them.
Coming to you from the former United States of America, deep in the heart of Texas, it's Alex Jones.
I hear people talking bad about the way we have to live here in this country. Harping on wars we fight and griping about the way things ought to be. And I don't mind them switching sides and standing up for things they believe in. When they're running down my country, man, they're walking on the fighting side of me.
Yeah, they're walking.
Yeah, walking on the fighting side.
We've got Trump ongoing giving a speech at a Florida Air Force base right now. We'll have some excerpts of that coming up when David Knight hosts the fourth hour today. He's got a lot more to cover as well. Doug Hagman will be with us here in about 6-7 minutes. In fact, he's ready right now. We're going to him in just a moment. But I promise to get to these callers. So we're going to run through as quickly as I can. I don't like having to cover pedophilia, but this is what the elites are into, and it keeps coming out. And in history, it keeps coming out. So there's just something in a certain percentage of twisted people's minds that want power so they can abuse children, or is it they want power and they like to abuse children? That's the criminology. And he's a criminologist, advises FBI, state police, local police. It was Doug Hagman. I mean, I had sources saying that there was a child porn investigation on Wiener. And then Hagman came out and had his sources that had even more. He was even showing us the redacted photos that weren't pornographic that went along with it on air. And then Eric Prince of XZ and all the other names of his contractor group came out and said, I have high-level law enforcement saying that this Pizzagate thing's real. Now, he called it the emails. They created Pizzagate in that term to get us focused onto that as a red herring, and I guess got, it's David Brock's boyfriend or whatever. I'm speculating, as to why they picked that place where the Democrats hang out to be the victim, to be the straw man, like a mother bird acting like her wings broken so you don't get too close to the nest. And I'm not saying Brock or his boyfriend or anybody's involved in all this. It's just, it gets too weird now that Wiener is set to be indicted reportedly for child porn. And, when I heard that was confirmed last week, I went, oh, that's horrible. I wish I was wrong. I wish NYPD was wrong. Oh, I wish, they were just putting kids in the hot tub for entertainment, whatever entertainment is. Or I wish that Obama really was buying $65,000 worth of hot dogs. And I really wish spirit cooking, wasn't an Aleister Crowley ritual. But you know what, folks? It is. Now, I don't know how deep the rabbit hole goes, okay? All these weirdos wanting to be shocking or whatever. I just hope it's like Halloween costumes gone wrong. It's not. Now, the question is, how deep does it go? We'll talk to Hagman. And again, people ask, well, why'd you drop it? I didn't drop it, ladies and gentlemen. They were producing fake news pieces every day, okay, where they said I was saying that women like Hillary were torturing children to death in the bottom of a pizza place in D.C. I never said that. And they were editing audio together, and Megyn Kelly was airing it. And at that point, anything I said, they were taking out of context. So I know when to pull back, not out of fear, but waiting for more to come out and waiting for Trump to be able to get in. Because the word was, yeah, let Trump get in, and then the stuff's going to start happening. Well, you know what? Anthony Weiner may get slapped with child pornography charges. New York Post, especially the mouth of Trump right there, 474 arrested, 28 sexually exploited children rescued during statewide human trafficking operation just last week. That's LA News. Los Angeles Police Department, County Sheriff. And just arrest all over the country. They arrested a bunch of guys in Pennsylvania raping kids, reportedly, in teddy bear outfits. I mean, you can't make this stuff up, okay? And so we're going to cover it with Hagmann here in just a minute, because the word is Trump's put the word out to law enforcement, we're going to back you when you go after these people. And we've seen Pence come out and speak out against it. He's gone to the pro-life events. They've sent the signal to the military that there's no limits going after these people. The gloves are off. And that's why Hillary and all of them are fighting for their lives and being so aggressive and not stopping and trying to cause a civil war, because they know Trump means to clean house. We'll go to Hagmann here in just one moment. But first off, holding the longest here would be Kimberly in Idaho. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi, Alex. It's so nice to talk to you. I have wanted to talk to you for so long. It's so hard to get through on the phone sometimes. I just wanted to know, why isn't George Soros and his son charged as an enemy of the state? I mean, we could use the money that he has leveraged against, you know, currency crashing to pay down our national debt.
Sure. Sure. It's the same reason I'm still on air. Is I'm protected by God, he's protected by the devil. That's the best info we've got. And he knows where all the bodies are buried. He's got all sorts of trap doors and naked shorts and threatens to wreck the economy. So the globalists act like they want to work with Trump, but then under the surface attack him. So Trump's trying to not have a war. He's trying to just fix things and have so much prosperity they back off. But now Goldman Sachs, JP Morgan, Bloomberg, they've all, CNN, have all come out and said, dump your stocks, bring down Trump, which means bring down the people. And that the prosperity's over, to try to sabotage this nationalist movement. Just like with Brexit, the EU unelected tyranny is trying to sabotage them. And so this is all like a Mexican standoff where you know everybody's got guns on each other. We'll talk to Hagmann about that in a moment. But they are really hyping economic downfall, trying to think we're so dumb that if they're successful in a depression or a recession expanding, that somehow it's Trump's fault when he had everything turbocharged and working. So they're trying to blow this Trump rocket up on the tarmac. In fact, we'll just have Hagmann co-host with these callers and then get to the latest on Pizzagate at the bottom of the hour. But that's a great point. You know, Hagmann, I've got these callers on and then pop back in, Kimberly, in a moment. And of course, Hagmann, talk show, very popular. And of course, they have a law enforcement advisory group. And they also have the Northeast Intelligence Network with HagmannReport.com. I'm not going to go over your whole bio in the interest of time, but clearly they're openly trying to plunge the stock market and the economy right now, Doug, to kill the economy. What do we do? How do we respond to this? What can you add to what she just said? Why Soros is allowed to overthrow countries, fund the Islamic Jihad, overthrow of nations, total evil, try to bet against the dollar. They're in the news saying plunge the dollar. Why? Why is he allowed to do this?
Great question. And by the way, Soros also, the fingerprints of George Soros are also on the anti-Trump initiative to extremely vet or extreme vetting of the refugees or the immigrants coming in. But as to the why, it's my view, and based on everything I've been told, is the fact that there's two types of politicians inside the Beltway, those that are bribed and those that are compromised. And so you're seeing this, whether you're a Republican or a Democrat, you're seeing this pushback. You're seeing this this fear of being exposed, whether it's the immorality of the politicians or of the criminality of the politicians. So there's this hands-off, soft-glove approach to people like Soros and those people who he funds and backs. And Soros is behind a lot of stuff, but it's just not him. It's there are
sure, others. He's the focal point of that whole shadow global system.
Exactly. Yeah. So, and you had mentioned earlier in the program, they want to take Trump out. And there's three different methods. Robert David Steele, I'm sure you're familiar with them. Three different ways to take Trump out. One, of course, is by assassination. God forbid. The second, of course, is through impeachment, which the articles of impeachment are being compiled via David Brock, Media Matters for America, and the Soros-funded groups there. And the third, of course, is to just make the next 4 years a living hell for Trump and every person that is backing Trump through the riots and protests. Again, Soros' fingerprints are all across that, as well as David Brock and many of the same people. So
we're going to get to that more in a moment. Kimberly, anything else?
Oh, yeah. I just wanted to ask you, too, I want to know if Hillary Clinton and Obama are going to be investigated and jailed. I mean, he wasn't even an American citizen, and he was our president.
No, that's right. The only promise that Trump hasn't kept so far is he said, if I become president, you should be in jail. Now, technically, he's not breaking a promise because it's not the president's job to do that. He's trying to appoint Sessions, who said, you know, if I'm confirmed, I will recuse myself when we go after Hillary. So he's not leaving a question mark in there. He's saying they're going to go after him. So I think that's why they're desperately fighting Trump so hard. But that's a good question, Doug.
Yeah, I have no doubt in my mind that that's on the agenda of the that's on Trump's agenda. I think a couple of things right now: the Sessions appointment, obviously confirmation, that, and also that he's going to do some house cleaning within the various intelligence agencies, including but not limited to the FBI.
Yeah, there's moles everywhere, and he's also got to jumpstart the economy so that people are on his side when he moves against the enemy.
Exactly, and that's I've been told by a couple of FBI agents directly that, hey, there's a lot of things are taking place right now. Many of the career people don't like it. Some of the newcomers don't like it, but the moral people do, in fact, welcome it. So we're going to see some things happen. And we've already seen, as you alluded to earlier, we've already seen some things take place, including some arrests that were related to some pushback by the NYPD and the investigators from the
winner. Yeah, and you said that was coming. We're going to go to that coming up at the bottom of the hour. We're going to skip this break for more time. Thank you, Kimberly. Great questions. Let's talk to Kevin in Florida. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Thank you, Alex. I was thinking about this whole stock market analogy, and I equate it to, I feel like J.P. Morgan and Goldman Sachs and Bank of America and all the big banks that are trying to implode the stock market, they're kind of like the cowboys of the Old West and Tombstone. And everything was going fine because there was no opposition. But now Donald Trump and Mike Pence roll in, and they're like Wyatt Earp and Doc Holliday trying to restore some law and order.
Absolutely. And I mean, Pence, I'm really impressed with Pence now. Didn't know him that well. Trump, I'm so impressed. It's crazy. And again, if you just joined us in the first hour, I covered it. AP, Reuters, CNN, MSNBC, just the communist Chinese, everybody is betting, naked shorting Soros, trying to drive down our stock market, trying to drive down the dollar to blame Trump. And they're so arrogant, they're saying, we're going to plunge it to make him look bad. It's like, we're going to burn your house down to make you hate your neighbor and blame it on him. But you're telling me you're going to burn it down. Again, it's the arrogance, Doug.
Absolutely. It's yes. But I think Trump is doing a fine job with keeping his enemies close and everybody under surveillance. And that's kind of our mantra as well.
Sure. And of course, we're not saying surveillance in the classical Big Brother sense, but he's watching what everybody's doing, watching what they're saying, watching what they do, and basically making a list. Because listen, I'm not somebody that wants authoritarianism. We've been invaded by globalists. We've been taken over. These are horrible people. At the top, they're a bunch of pedophiles. And so the gloves are off. They're openly in hundreds of publications saying kill Trump. They're openly saying kill their opposition. They're shutting down free speech. They're a foreign army. Gloves are off, okay? And it's not because I have some fantasy about authoritarianism. I hate it. But we're in emergency cancer surgery here. And so, quite frankly, he's been very restrained right now. I'm just wondering, like you said, when the point comes, when the gloves come off, because to have all these major writers and people saying, let's kill Trump, that's not free speech. That's illegal. I mean, I'm sure you saw, Doug, the former deputy of the Department of Defense went around last week and on TV and radio and print and is organizing a coup, saying it's okay. Coups are no big deal. Let's have one. I mean, that's like terrorism. I mean, it's classic. I guarantee if I was like organizing in public, robbing a bank, I would be arrested within hours. And I should be, or the cops aren't doing their job. This is flagrant illegal. So I'm going to trust the president, but he's holding back, I think, because he knows they're wanting to bait him in. I was in D.C. I've seen the footage all over the country. They're targeting women, beating women up. They're saying kill Trump. They're clearly trying to bait him into some kind of move. Even when he does what he said he would do to control the borders and people coming in unvetted, they block that and say it's outrageous authoritarianism. So I think they're trying to set him up as a dictator.
I think so as well. And look at people like Robert Reich, the former head of the Department of Labor, for example, coming out and saying, for just as an example, saying that the protests, the rioters, the people who were brought in to create all this havoc and damage, were in fact paid by Trump people, pro-Trump people. This the entire mess here.
It's come out every time that it's the Soros and the Democrats doing it. Sorry, go ahead.
No. It just gives a whole new name to Reichstag, I suppose. But what you said is exactly right, and this is what I'm hearing again from my people inside the Beltway: is the fact that, all right, we have to watch this. We can't fall for the bait. We have to be smarter than they are, and not react but respond. And there's a difference between reacting and responding. And of course, this is what Donald Trump is attempting to do, based on the information I'm getting.
All right, let's finish up with calls and get into the latest news. I don't want to call it Pizzagate, but everybody knows what that means now. Again, the media knew that we were on to the emails and all the weird sex trafficking stuff and spirit cooking and occult stuff, and we don't know who's innocent, who's guilty. It's all confusing, but there's definitely a lot of weirdness going on. We're told by sources it's wiener and child porn charges and underage stuff, sending photos. That's all come out now. So we're confirmed there. Suddenly, New York Times, Washington Post, others, CNN go, oh, look at this poor pizza place, the center of the WikiLeaks, claiming they're killing kids in a basement here. We look at the place. It's a little weird. It's got Democrats involved. But, you know, basements with kids and Hillary? No. They then strawman us and say that we're saying that to divert off the tens of thousands of emails, the cornucopia of sickening behavior. Now, though, we can double back and say, see, what we originally talked about is coming out, and you suddenly see law enforcement moving against these networks, which is what Doug Hagman said they would do after Trump got into office. We're 2 weeks in. We're now 17 days in. Less than 2.5 weeks in, Doug has been proven crystal absolute on target with that. We go back to the last interviews with Doug. Hadn't been on since then. We're going to wait and see. Not that I didn't trust him. We were just waiting to have him back on. It's happening now. So we'll get his latest intel coming up. But right now, who's been holding the longest here? Chris in Virginia. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's why I believe it was very important for him to go with the blitz-style attack of coming at everything, because I believe that they knew that the Democrats' only strategy was the stall tactics, and the way to apply pressure on Congress is to work in a way that Congress is not used to. If you move real fast, they got a lot of things going on so that they're going to have to eventually get the gears of Congress rolling so they can get these laws going, and plus it throws a little diversion to his enemies so he can get other things done. Your thoughts?
I agree. You ought to host this show. Chris, I'm serious. You just crystallized what I've said in hours. Trump shouldn't get caught up on this immigration ban and the Ninth Circuit that's totally socialist and the most liberal, and like he's getting beat and having a perfect record. He just needs to keep blitzing, 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 and just run him over, Doug.
I totally agree, and I think he's going to have to watch. I think he is already watching and being very careful about who his friends in Congress are, who his close associates are. A report just came out recently that a number of lawmakers, I believe eight and counting, have been funded or have received funds from George Soros, for example. So all of that said, I think that Trump is perhaps in one of the most critical positions where he's going to have to be a lot smarter, his tactics a lot more incisive against the enemies that are coming against him. And I think he's doing just that. So I think that what we're seeing here is a very, very well gamed out plan by Trump and his advisors.
I've got to say, and I don't just say this to be gushing, because I almost don't want to be gushing, but I just got to be honest. Trump is ridiculously good and ridiculously smart. I mean, this is a godsend, and I want to get your take on that, but I want to get Chris's take on that. Chris, I mean, if you look what he's actually doing, all he's doing is trying to flood the people with prosperity and trying to secure our nation. And he's so good, I can't believe it. And it actually brings tears to my eyes to see all these ignorant people telling lies when all he's trying to do is help them. And then to see the media trying to promote killing him. Man, I'm wondering what happens if they do kill Trump. Go ahead, Chris.
That's why it's more important for him to do this transparency thing that he's doing. You notice that everything he's doing, he's showing us what he's doing, what's being on. I've never seen this before. I've never seen such transparency. And I believe that shining that light on that transparency, that's what's giving him the protection, as well as God and a lot of the info warriors and good patriots out there. And he's getting a lot of help now. I've never seen nobody go off over an appointment of a number two at the CIA. What is that all about? And, you know, so Trump just got to stick with the script, and we'll be fine.
I hope so, because I tell you, Doug, the epic time we're living in, I mean, just from an interesting perspective of what's going on and happening, it's so incredible how more happens in a day than used to happen in a year. What would you call this time we're in right now?
Biblical. In a word, biblical. I think epic is correct as well.
I think biblical's better. You're right.
Yeah, but I think we're also seeing, after 8 years of do nothing, say nothing, nothing gets done, I think we're seeing a cultural, social, and spiritual whiplash that occurs when all of a sudden you have somebody get in office and says, okay, I'm going to do exactly what I said I'm going to do, and shows the American people that. And that, of course, is a shock to many people that, hey, there's stuff getting done. So biblical, epic, and definitely... it's great to see some things getting done.
That's right. Donald in Michigan, go ahead. You're on the air. We're going to come back with the news. Again, we're talking about how they're trying to plunge stocks publicly. I mean, talk about nasty. Donald, what do you think is happening?
I think it's just a simple, feeble attempt to inhibit growth by deterring investors from involving themselves in the betterment of the U.S. infrastructure. It's pretty simple. Like, they're just trying to do anything they can to deter them.
I agree. It's called sabotage. And how do they announce sabotage and then think they won't get blamed if they're successful?
People aren't educated enough to do their own research. It's pretty basic. They've got enough people under a hypnotic spell almost.
I agree. Let me just show new TV viewers some of these articles and think that we're just making this up while you and Doug talk. Goldman Sachs says Trump rally has been curbed. Goldman Sachs economists are starting to worry about Trump president. Time to sell the dollar on erratic Trump policies. J.P. Morgan, Treasury's goals rise, U.S. stocks slip with oil, market wrap. They're really trying to raise interest rates on Trump right now. Where do you think this goes, Donald?
It's just they're doing the best they can to shut down any avenue of growth that Trump has to offer. And I'm not 100% even for any candidate, but I'm definitely 100% against this info.
Absolutely. This is sick. All right, thank you. God bless, Donald. All right, now I'm going to come back with the big news, give Doug the floor here to recap what happened with so-called Pizzagate. And it's not fair in America. If I put Pizzagate in the headline, it'll be delisted by YouTube. It'll be on our channel, but it can't get on any list as it climbs. Like Joe Rogan has the record podcast he's ever had, didn't show up anywhere on iTunes or YouTube. It's blocked. You have to go find the actual link to even get it. It should be in all the best of top feeds and get 50 million views. But it's still number one. You still got beat. We'll be back. Radio Network. We are now only 17 days into the Trump presidency, and Goldman Sachs, J.P. Morgan, everybody else have announced they want to implode the economy to try to discredit Trump and bring him down. Remember, with Brexit, the EU openly said, we will destroy your stock market. We will make you poor. We will let our unelected bureaucracy run you. Just like Hitler bombed England to try to make them surrender. I don't think that's going to work too well. Wow, what a time to be alive. Ladies and gentlemen, I've got so much I want to do with reporters and crew and amazing people we found to join the team to really change the world. You think InfoWars, thanks to your support, has already gone far? We've only gotten to the platform level we need to really dominate the globalist. I want in the arena with their biggest systems, and I am in the arena. I'm hurting them bad, but I want to crush them. And I'm ready. It's my duty. I don't want to say I'm not afraid. It's beyond that. It's got to be done. I will take them on. And we finally have the skills, the understanding. We've been through the trials. We're now at the skill level to go to the next level. And I say that very humbly. We carry the light in the dark of the night. We're ready to set those brush fires everywhere, and we need your support. Go to InfoWarsStore.com today and get Roger Stone's new book, The Making of a President, signed and discounted 25% or 20%, and it's already a bestseller. I'm just discounting everything. That's what I do. And we have the nutraceuticals, 10% off on the Secret 12. We have the DNA Force. We have the Brain Force, a nootropic that's our bestseller. We have the X2. And we also have the water filtration Alexa Pure gravity-fed system that cuts out all the garbage. 20% off, 25% off right now. And that's already the lowest price out there. I've got to end it today. They told me, they said, fine, one more day. And the Alexa Pure Breeze air filters. Take control of your life with basic things like water, where you get most of the toxins that you end up ingesting, and the air. These are great systems for your children's rooms. They're only $147 for the air filter, $149 for the water filter, or vice versa. You cannot beat these deals. Go do your own research and then know that you're also supporting the tip of the spear, the entire spearhead in the fight for human liberty. Infowarsstore.com or call toll free 888-253-3139, 888-253-3139. And there's also a lot of other great Patriot t-shirts and the amazing nanotech body armor gear in the lower thirds, and they're the best out there with the copper inlays and just so much more. Check it out for yourself today and know that you're doing so much when you fund InfoWars, because, I mean, the body armor has a 5.0 rating. I can't even tell the story, but a major intelligence agency called up and said, does that really stop even pistol rounds through rifles? And that's they didn't know the Pentagon's been using it, and state police have been using it. We're like, yeah, no, it's real. I mean, it's that crazy. Developed in Texas, made right here in the USA. We get the exclusive to civilians first because we have patriots inside these laboratories. So this comes out of one of the big defense laboratories developed at the University of Texas. There's so much there. I tell you, it is Twilight Zone. Look at the intel we get. It's Twilight Zone. Secret Service says, hey, we're going to come meet with you in Austin in the next month when I'm at the RNC in Cleveland. Sure enough, about a month later, all right, we're ready to meet with you at an undisclosed location. Hillary Clinton's falling down all the time. She's having seizures every 25, 30 minutes. She's having to go into medical tents all the time. They tend to get her to go into one before or usher her into one after. Millie Weaver and her team caught Hillary for 45 minutes inside a medical tent with emergency stretchers. 5 days later, she collapses in New York. Gets caught on tape. I mean, we have real sources. And I say that because everybody knows that. We told you about Benghazi and everything first. But Doug Hagman, from his sources, confirmed that they were looking at not just political stuff and not just, you know, the sellout to foreign governments on the foundation with her husband. You know, that's Hillary's girlfriend's husband, Wiener. They weren't just looking at that and Uma Abedin. They were looking at child porn pictures. And so before it was ever even in the news, or even rumored, we broke it. That's New York, not some pizza place. David Brock's boyfriend, as a diversion. And so now that's come out, and pedophile networks are getting arrested. 474 in L.A. alone, hundreds all over the country. This is a big deal, and this is their control arm. So I want to have Doug Hagman, who's a humble guy, take the floor. I'll interrupt every 5 seconds. I'll just write notes here while you're talking. Lay out the history of this, what you think they did with Pizzagate, where this is going, and what these new developments are. And what we were told, you were told, and I separately, just be cool. Wait till Trump gets in. You'll see action. We're starting to see it. The question is, what's coming next? And no wonder the bad guys are fighting so hard to remove Trump, because, you know, Trump doesn't like pedophiles. He doesn't like people that grab kids out of the back of their yard and take them to slave dungeons.
No, you're exactly right, Alex. And I think just to kind of set the stage a little bit, just so people understand, in terms of the systemic issue, the systemic problem with respect to pedophilia inside and outside of the Beltway, yeah, right now the ICMEC, which is the International Center for Missing Children, estimates that 8 million children are reported missing every year around the world. And of that number, an estimated 800,000 children will go missing here in the United States. And that's at a rate, by the way, of over 2,000 missing children each day. And that just is mind-blowing. However, There's 466,950 odd cases are entered into the NCIC or the FBI's National Crime Information Center on an annual basis. Now, having said all of that, that kind of lays out the groundwork of what we're dealing with. Now, advance to October 3rd of last year, there was a document dump on WikiLeaks, the Podesta emails, and I think there were several email dumps. Citizen journalists and investigators had caught whiff of some interesting terminology that had already been on the FBI watch list in terms of, well, code words used by pedophiles. And if I can just interject something here, just to be clear, I think you handled that whole Pizzagate whole issue very eloquently when you pulled back with respect to Pizzagate, because this is not just Pizzagate. This is this is the currency. Children are the currency, unfortunately, and human trafficking of the currency is a currency of the globalists. And
it's the currency of the religion.
Yes, but both. I mean, it's a spiritual crime, but it's also one of it's just horrific. But having said all of that, just to bring it back to where we were when we spoke, of course, the Podesta email leaks had suggested some sort of code that was going on within the emails. And having said all of that, you have to excuse me. That's my.
We love it. We love dogs.
That's actually a ringtone. So, anyway. So once the Podesta emails had been exposed, a citizen journalist said, wait a minute, there's something here. And as they began to investigate, they began to connect some dots between John and Tony Podesta, for example, the old friends of Jeffrey Epstein, Dennis Hastert, and Clement Freud. And then that expanded into the Clinton Foundation, and it just kept going and going and going. And it suddenly developed James Alefantis, who is the former lover of David Brock, and David Brock, of course, Media Matters for America, and other NGOs and nonprofits. That's how that whole Pizzagate aspect got kind of involved in this.
And then that got tied into Haiti, and a lady that got busted shipping a bunch of kids in, and on and on and on. And Podesta's brother in the Washington Post saying, I've got deviant art of naked kids with their butts paddled, and just weirder and weirder, and rock bands at the pizza place saying our preference is children, and just, it's like, what the hell's going on here?
Oh, yeah, and it's ridiculous. So we have all of that, and then, of course, at the same time, you had the server scandal going on, or the server investigation, and the FBI going to Huma Abedin's now ex-husband, Anthony Weiner, or whatever, at the time, her husband, and saying, wait, there's all kinds of classified documents here, over 650,000 classified documents on the computers at the Weiner / Abedin household. So, all right, so you've got that, and that kind of overlapped into the sexting, or depending how you look at it, the sexting with a 15-year-old girl from North Carolina overlapped into the FBI investigation of the secured files, the top secret classified files on the unauthorized laptop. And that kind of dragged Hillary into this as well, because some of the emails of Hillary's were found on that laptop, of course. But it's more than a laptop. It's a desktop. It's thumb drives. It's a modem. Trust me when I tell you, there's a lot of pieces to this focused around Weiner.
It's a whole enterprise of her selling data.
Yeah, exactly. So then you've got this task force that's investigating the child sexting, this child porn thing with Weiner. And then, of course, you have the FBI and the other investigators, the federal investigators, focused on the secret documents or the classified documents. So there was this kind of a push and pull fight that took place in real time. And according to my sources, in real life between investigators. Well, all right, just to give you some idea. I do have information that the task force assigned to the sexting scandal of Anthony Weiner, shall we say, made insurance copies of some of the documents, if not all of the documents that were found on the laptop. So there's that. There's documents reportedly that are in the custody of some very moral, upright people that belong or that were a resident on the computers owned by Wiener. And not the, I'm not talking about the classified stuff. I'm talking about the sexting
stuff. The pervert stuff.
Yeah. All right. So having said all of that, the task force itself said, okay, we need to do something. We need to move on this. There's pushback by the by the FBI, by the feds. And what happened was Comey was kind of caught in the middle. As much as Comey was caught in the middle of this. He had to act. So I think part of his decision to come out right before the election had
to. That's what I was told by other sources. That's why he had to go back and forth, because he didn't want to look like either way, but he still had to do his duty. And so now Trump knows that. That's why he's basically retained him.
Exactly. And you're right on the money with your sources. So here we are, and people are saying, well, what about all of this? If this really truly did exist, then there would be people doing things about it. There'd be arrests being made. Well, true. However, there's an issue with the Justice Department, Department of Justice. What do you do without an attorney general? What do you do with a very antagonistic group?
It's clear. There's a civil war going on. That's why they're battling everything Trump's doing to try to keep him getting in position.
Right. And by the way, that's why I believe, and based on information I received, that Preet, the prosecutor Preet Bharara in the Southern District of New York was retained, because he has some information about this and he intends to go forward.
Exactly. And let's say the Death Star is the good guys, not the bad guys in this. The Death Star has got to clear the planet to fire. They've already launched their X-Wings to blow up Trump before he can get clear to fire. And it's just like the movie, but Luke Skywalker's the bad guy in this one. We're trying to get clear to fire on him, but the president's not clear to fire yet. But I heard from little birds that this would happen about 2 weeks ago. It started rolling up other networks to put pressure on their California network, their Pennsylvania network, their Florida network, so that they are totally panicked, even if they're able to destroy all the evidence in this area, that we would see the bust to begin. We're seeing unprecedented child porn bust right now, of not just child porn, but the actual sex slaves. So do you have any intel on that?
Yeah, well, and I think one of the artifacts or one of the consequences from the take from the Wiener / Abedin / Clinton emails was the 474 arrests made in Los Angeles County. 55 victims were rescued, as a matter of fact, in this massive Southern California child trafficking network dubbed Operation Reclaim and Rebuild. But there are other key issues here, or key cases that...
And notice the Trumpian language, reclaim America, rebuild America, starting with our children.
Exactly. And
reclaim it from the pedophiles, rebuild morals.
Exactly. Yeah, and that involved more than 30 federal, state, and local law enforcement agencies. And I was going to mention that. Great pickup on that. And, of course, we saw the Bucks County, Pennsylvania arrest here that made the news back at the end of January.
And I'm told there's a lot not making the news. I'm told some people are so bad that just bye-bye.
Yeah, there was a Long Island priest that was just arrested here this past it was about a week ago. Christopher King, the saint, the priest with the St. James Episcopal Church in Long Beach, New York. But there was also a case.
And again, that's getting people to talk, right? That's rolling up their procurers, correct?
Yeah, low-hanging fruit. And that's kind of, if they can't or would somehow be disallowed, or if things didn't go properly with respect to the evidence that they did have. And this is one of the things I ran into as an investigator. Sometimes you might get a piece of evidence that you can't use because...
And I should add, you've written books a decade ago on satanic ritual abuse and just this stuff. So I should add, you're a leading expert on this.
Well, and Russ Dizdar, for example, who's an associate, he's really informative in terms of the satanic ritual abuse of this. In fact, my book, Stained by Blood, I had no idea what I was into back in the mid-80s when I was investigating the murder of my uncle, and a parallel investigation with respect to satanic ritual abuse I stumbled into, and that's what my book, Stained by Blood, is about. But having said all of that, we're seeing the real-life case come forward here with the systematic pedophilia and satanic ritual abuse taking place in the United States with respect to Pizzagate and the emails.
And isn't that how it works, though? You have a good heart. You love God. You're nobody's perfect, but you're not a pedophile. I'm not either. We love God. We want justice. You're off just doing good, not backing down, and you break through a wall, and it's like, what the? What? You know, that's how my life is. It's like, it's that bad?
Yeah. Yeah, it's and this is something, I mean, a lot of times we stumble into and you stumble into, and but we're there for a purpose, I believe. And I think you've done a tremendous job, by the way. Your sources are 100% accurate, but you got to be in that position. We have to play our positions and be in position for the sources to give us information and to make a difference.
And to never burn those sources.
Oh, exactly. You do it once, and you might as well just fold up shop and go home, because you're not going to be trusted by anyone again.
I know. Some of the stuff I know, I wish I could talk about. I feel bad not saying some of this stuff, but I understand. Like, we've had people jump the gun on announcements before, and then it blows up a whole operation. And all I'm saying is there are really good people in the government dedicated. Some of the worst people are in the government. Some of the best are in the government. And this is quite a time to be alive, isn't it, Doug?
Oh, indeed it is. We are looking, I believe, at a time like no other. But we have to play our positions. And I just admire what you do, Alex.
Oh, I admire you. It's just good to be in this together, fighting a bunch of child-raping devils. And again, folks, we're not child-raping devils, so we don't believe it. I don't believe it either, except it's really happening. It's like, what? People kidnap kids and torture them? Yeah, folks, they do. It's a fact.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
All right, I'm going to be out of here at 5 after, and then David Knight's going to take over. He's got a lot to cover. He's going to play some excerpts from Trump's latest speech at CENTCOM. I know we got a lot of great callers, too. Matt wants to talk about the economic collapse, judge blocking executive branch, Soros' son, reinstate military officers that Obama snubbed. Maybe I'll take a few of these calls in the next segment, but I got to let Hagman go. His website, where you can find out about his show and more, is HagmanReport.com. Does his own daily broadcast. Such an asset to have him. And he's so on target with what he says. I used to hear Hagman 10 years ago going, they're bringing in jihadis and letting them build training camps. There's a plan to flood Europe later and bring in a caliphate. I'm like, that guy's fear-mongering. But then most of what he said to do was true, so I was like, wow, I better get him on. And then now it's all come true. But it's just like, again, we don't think like that. You know, I feel guilty if I drink the last milk out of the jug at night knowing my kids will want it in the morning, or, you know, or if I don't do the laundry and I'm lazy and, you know, let the family do it, or, you know what I mean, or I let the garage get dirty. I'm racked with not even guilt, like conscience. And then meanwhile, I mean, it's so alien to me to kidnap kids and rape them or kill them. But this is going on historically. It's a fact. And look at the Catholic Church, and look at Penn State, and look at Boys Town, and look at all of it. It just keeps coming out. There is this cult. So in the last 4 minutes, other key points, Doug Hagman, about where all this is going, what your intel is telling you.
Well, one kind of a side note or a footnote in this, it's rather interesting, as I was looking at the anti-Trump protest, the Women's March, and I may have mentioned this, but I want to just reiterate this. It's interesting because those who preach the inclusiveness and tolerance, like the women's people that sponsor the Women's March, I found it very interesting that in addition to Linda Sinsauer, who wants to, one of the co-founders of the Women's March, who wants to bring Sharia into the United States, the overlap between the perversity of people in the government and outside of the government and those that are pushing these demonstrations, for example.
Extreme Islam is very perverse and satanic, so it meshes together.
Yeah. Well, in fact, sharing the dais with Linda Sinsauer, it was Donna Hilton. And come to find out, she served a number of years, 2 decades in prison.
For kidnapping.
For kidnapping, right. So you've got that.
Didn't they kill him too, didn't they?
Oh, yeah. It's horrible.
It's not like one of the women leaders is like that. They're like, oh, bank robbing, killing, Sharia. They write books about sexual mutilation. They're just a bunch of crazy people.
Yeah, and people, I really want people to understand, and you've done a great job pointing this out, the overlap between things like what is known as Pizzagate or the pedophilia, large-scale pedophilia, Seville to D.C. and beyond, the overlap between that as well as the anti-Trump protests. These are some of the same people, the same fingerprints, the same tactics.
And that's why they beat up women and other people in wheelchairs.
Yeah, exactly. You're exactly right. So we have to look at, in my view anyway, we have to look at the larger picture. And again, I just props for the way you handled.
Oh, please stop it. Props to you, brother. We're all in this together. Oh.
Yeah, but you know what? The way that this was playing out, boy, you were on some tenuous ground there. Okay, with respect to Pizzagate, and I saw how you were getting roped in, and that was immediately taken care of. So that's a good job. But we have to keep looking, I think, in my view, at the bigger picture here. We have to keep our wits about us to make sure that we don't fall for any kind of we don't get sucked into anything that would.
No, I agree. We've got to be as wise as serpents, as peaceful as doves, as Moses said, and just pray for guidance, because I wish I'd have gone with my gut weeks before. I kind of let it run away with me with some of the crew, and then they're great too. I just got to go with my gut, but it was definitely set up. And now you see it coming out, though, what they didn't want to come out. So praise God for that. Doug Hagmann, look forward to having you back up very soon. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you, Alex.
Wow. We'll be right back with the fourth hour. I'll introduce David Knight coming up. I got a few phone calls first. Stay with us. Infowars.com/show. They don't like this broadcast, folks.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want to stop tyranny? Well, so does he. Live from the Infowars.com studios, it's Alex Jones.
Yep, never knew I'd grow up to be the head chief cook and bottle washer at one of the main resistance arms against a worldwide scientific tyranny. But here we are. I just want to let the listeners know it's all about you. All about you spreading the word, all about you praying for us, all about you buying the products, all about you starting your own shows, all about you taking action. All these other talk show hosts go, man, you have all these other talk show hosts on. You promote their books, even though a lot of times you're not selling them. What are you doing? I'm just trying to win. You understand? I don't care about who wins a football game. I knew Trump was a fan of the Patriots, but I didn't care either way. And I didn't even get into that today, how they're saying it's white supremacism because there's a few more white players. It's like the team's like more than half black. And then you've got some Hispanic players and some white players, and it's like black guys making most of the touchdowns. I mean, yeah, it's a good quarterback and it's a good receiver. That's white guys and black guys working together. It's humans working together. And the media said, man, that's racist. I mean, the articles are on Infowars.com. How do you take that and turn it into something racist? But that's what they're doing to handicap everybody so this country's a bunch of basket cases. Quite frankly, I can't even believe it at this point. Because when you're informed, this stuff is so obvious. It's like I have eyesight and the general public that isn't awake is blind. And so I'm awake on this plane of existence. I have eyesight. I have touch. I have smell. I have mobility. And I'm in this plane. And I see the majority of people are like blind, or they're halfway blind, or, you know, they're, and I'm trying to wake them up. So I go, you have sight, you know, just take the goggles off. And all of a sudden I hear somebody next to me who's got eyesight. I go, oh, hey, you can see. Why don't you help them? And they go, I'm going to eat these people. I'm going to abuse them and enslave them as they don't have sight. Stop trying to give them sight. I'm like, I'm not giving them sight. They've got blinders on. I want to take them off. I got kids. I want them to be friends with their kids. Just feed on them. They don't want your help. Watch this. I'll just take one's goggles off and say you're a bad guy. He's a bad guy. Then the guy attacks me. See, I told you. You don't want to give them sight. They're profane. They don't deserve the sight. You will be given the sight. But you didn't give me the sight. God did. And I tell you, it is metaphysical, because in my life, there's a lot of things that happen I'll never tell anybody about because it's too heavy. But I will just tell you, there's a lot going on in this universe that's not in these books. And the elite know all this stuff. They know it. And they don't want you to know. I mean, you're like a composite of all these people before you in this human journey and their genetics. And it's been proven you have their instincts and many of their memories. And you can access all of that, and the enemy knows that. I had an article I meant to get to today, and I didn't get to it, how they've confirmed that trees have fungus networks and that trees communicate with trees hundreds of miles away through underground Internet of Things. And of course, they show you that in the movie Avatar, because this was done 50 years ago. But there's an Internet of Things between people. And the globalists are trying to build an artificial system over all of that. And that's the BBC reporting that. What about ancestral memories? You know, you seem like a Vulcan mind meld. Where do you think stuff like that comes from, huh? Can you imagine being a child and having the knowledge of an old man put into you? Now, they call that the occult. No, the people that want to keep all that hidden, that's the occult. All this stuff should be known. And the media makes jokes about this when I talk about it, but you know what? They all are trying to find out about it. Well, guess what? I know all about it. And I'm certainly not going to sit here and play games with people who are trying to suppress humanity. I want to empower humanity. Now, I got a loaded phones here, but I'm sorry I'm out of time. No pressure on David. If he wants to flush him, I understand that they're great people. But he's had a lot to cover in a Trump speech to get to and a lot more. But David Knight is coming up here in just a moment. I'm Alex Jones. Nightly News Tonight, 7 o'clock Central, InfoWars.com.
He aligns himself with the truth, and it's time for you to choose a side. You're listening to Alex Jones.
I see your hair is burning.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight, your host for this fourth hour. We're going to take a look at Donald Trump's speech at CENTCOM. And, of course, the events that are the backdrop for that speech, the things that have been happening with Iran. We see an escalation in tensions. And, of course, NPR comes out and says, well, let's take a look at the exact language in the UN resolutions to try to give them some wiggle room, because it was the UN who said, you will not do this, and then came back and said, we call on you not to do that. And they maintain that that gives them license to do that. We'll take a look at whether that does really give them license or not. And we're going to take a look at what Donald Trump says to the military. Of course, this is his first time visiting a military base as president. And so it's very important for us to take a look at what he is what he said today, as well as what may be happening in the Middle East. But there's something else that I want to talk about. And you may have heard the 1 minute that we've been playing in cycle through the show about Ted Malik. And, of course, he's a man who has been tipped to be Donald Trump's pick as ambassador to the European Union. As far as I can tell, it's not exactly official, but he is going everywhere and being interviewed by the BBC, by other European press, as if he is now the pick. And there's also a movement in the European Parliament trying to stop him from being picked, because they don't think that the U.S. ought to be allowed to have a say in that. This is the arrogance of these people. And remember that it was Herman Van Rompuy, who was the first president of the European Union, that Nigel Farage said, who do you think you are? You have the demeanor of a third-rate bank clerk. Who do you think you are deposing the democratically elected leader of Greece and putting in a Goldman Sachs banker? Remember when they did that? He goes, at the very place where democracy began, you shut it down, the European Union. And so I want to take a quick look at some of the things that were said this last weekend in Europe by Ted Malik. Now, one of the things that you need to know about Ted Malik, again, it kind of says it in the title of his book, Davos, Aspen, and Yale, My Life Behind the Elite Curtain as a Global Sherpa. Now, he calls himself a Sherpa, not to say that, hey, I carried the baggage for these guys. I saw what happens behind the curtain. I'm not going to be their porter anymore. A Sherpa is really an executive that they have selected to essentially head a summit conference. See the play on words? Remember, Sherpas are the people that they hire as guides when they're going to go up the Himalayas, when they're going to climb a mountain, right? So when they're going to have a summit, and instead it's not Everest, but they're going to have a summit, then what they do is they hire a guy who is going to be the one who's going to walk them through. And so he's been a guy who has a very interesting history here. He's a former Yale professor. He's been a business executive. He has been a diplomat, a scholar diplomat appointed by the U.S. State Department. And he also gave a one-to-one seminar for the chairman of Toyota. This guy is very intelligent. I would say he is our own Nigel Farage here in the United States. And he was not cowed down when the British press said, why would you even want to come here? You don't like the European Union. They said the same thing to Nigel Farage, didn't they? Why would you go there? You don't even like the European Union. And I was like, yeah, because we're going to push back against it. And it's interesting because you had the European Council president. So they and understand, the European Union has this massive bureaucracy. They have a president of the European Commission. That person is Jean-Claude Juncker. They also have a European Council president who is kind of referred to as the president of the EU. Are you confused? Well, you're supposed to be, because that's the whole point of bureaucracy. They have so many different presidents and so many different councils and committees that they want to shut this whole thing down by shifting. Oh, no, you're not talking to the right person. It's kind of like what happens when you go to the Department of Motor Vehicles. No, no, no. This isn't the person you need to talk to. You need to go down there, you know, no matter what happens. Okay, so you've got Jean-Claude Juncker, who's president of the European Commission, Donald Tusk, who is the European Council president. Now, Tusk is a former prime minister of Poland, and he actually said this. He said, Trump's U.S. is among the external threats to the European Union, along with China, Russia, and radical Islam. Do you understand that? They think that Donald Trump is a threat to Europe like radical Islam. These people are absolutely amazing. The people who bring in, open up their borders, and of course they're doing that for other reasons. They're not doing that to provide safety for their citizens. See, their responsibility, first and foremost, should be to protect the safety of their citizens. That's why you have governments. They're there to protect your rights. They're there to protect your physical safety. And yet they surrender that to these people coming in from other countries, putting the citizens of foreign countries over the citizens of their own country. And some people called me on that when I said that on before on YouTube. I'm not saying that the government and its safety claims trump our liberty. No, government should first and foremost protect our liberty. I've said that many times. So anybody that says that doesn't really understand what I'm saying here. What I'm saying, though, is that the safety and security of foreign citizens does not trump the safety and security of those who are citizens of the country that they're supposed to be the government of. You understand? The American government should put the American citizens' safety above that of foreign citizens. That's what I'm saying here. And yet, of course, the German government doesn't do that. Why? Because they want to replace these citizens here. So when you look at some of the things that were said this last weekend, one of the most interesting things that he said was, Davos man is dead. That's what Ted Mollick said. Now, what does that mean? Davos man is dead. Well, you may not know who Davos man is. Davos man is a term that they have used to refer to themselves, the Davos globalist elite. It refers to a global elite of wealthy, predominantly men, whose members view themselves as completely international. They supposedly see their identity as a matter of personal choice and not an accident of birth. So they say, look, I'm going to choose to be an international man, a global man. I may have been born in America or Germany or Britain, but I don't really care about those countries. I'm transcending that. And according to a political scientist who coined that term, his name is Huntington, he said, quote, there are people who have little need for national loyalty. They view national boundaries as obstacles that thankfully are vanishing. They see national governments as residues from the past whose only useful function is to facilitate the elite's global operations. Does that sound like George Soros? Does that sound like the people who run Davos? Of course it does. They refer to them self-consciously as Davos man. See, Davos is their public face. And when they talk about themselves as being Davos man, they don't talk about what they do at Bilderberg. They tried to keep that secret for a number of years. Then eventually they couldn't keep it secret any longer. But they were open about Davos. They invite celebrities to come to Davos. And they're very clear about what that is. And they even created Davos man, who is the ideal, the international global elite. That's what they call Davos man. Well, Ted Mollick just threw the gauntlet down to them and said, Davos man is dead. And this is what he had to say. This is an interview he had with RT over the weekend. RT said, the European Parliament is somehow trying to veto your appointment as the next ambassador to the European Union.
What's your reaction? He said, well, they must have not gotten the notice that Donald Trump won the American election. In other words, that's not their authority to do that. He said, of course, ambassadors are chosen by their home countries to represent those countries and those national interests in foreign capitals, in this case, in Brussels. And then they say, well, how out of touch are the elites who are continuing to be in European capitals and the mainstream media when it comes to Trump? He says, I don't think it's just Europe. It certainly is the case around the world. The Davos man is dead. We had the Davos World Economic Forum the other week, and of course they had a lot of has-beens there. The keynote speakers were all people who were leaving office. For example, the U.S. Secretary of State, John Kerry. The leader of China was their poster boy for globalization, in effect. China has been the beneficiary of globalization. The 300 million jobs that were created in China was a significant economic fact, but lots of those jobs were taken out of the hallowed places of Western Europe and Middle America. This is Ted Malik, the guy that Donald Trump has picked for EU ambassador. And so you look at this, and you look at the strong statements that this guy's made, and my first response to it was, why don't we get this guy as the UN ambassador? I mean, Trump put in Nikki Haley, who's really a statist establishment politician, if there ever was one, to be the UN ambassador. And I thought, it really does make a lot of sense. It's really smart that the Trump administration, Trump and Bannon and others, would look at this and say, look, we can't take on the EU unless we've got allies. We will have allies if some of these European nations can reclaim their national sovereignty and leave the European Union. Then we will have some allies in the fight against the true center enemy, the United Nations, if you will, the Death Star. So you kind of get some of these other allies freed so they can join you in the fight. It was also interesting yesterday, so that was on Saturday, that he said Davos man is dead. Then Ted Malik goes on the BBC on Sunday, and he's talking about the collapse of the European Union. And he said, Trump hopes that Europe succeeds completely and he wants to deal with them bilaterally. But obviously, he doesn't want a union that is tilted towards Germany. I mean, he's telling it like it is. I can't believe the candor of these people in the Trump administration, especially Ted Malik. Here he's saying, look, Germany is in charge of the European Union. You all know that. The people in Britain knew that. That's one of the reasons why they picked Brexit. They said, we don't want to be run by Germany. Forget about Brussels. That's just window dressing. The people who are truly running the European Union are the Germans. And so he said, look, I hope that they succeed and we will deal with them one-on-one, a bilateral, two sides, the United States and Britain, the United States and France, the United States and Spain, whatever. They will deal with them on an individual basis, but he does not want to have a massive bureaucracy that is multilateral. That is the core of the issue. We got some other great quotes from this guy. I mean, he is truly an interesting guy and really said some very interesting things this Saturday and Sunday. Stay with us. We'll be right back. And we're going to have Donald Trump's speech from CENTCOM. Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight. We're going to continue with what happened this last week with the tentative pick for the European Union as an ambassador. Donald Trump's pick for the European Union ambassador, Ted Malik, had some amazing and interesting things to say this last weekend. And as I pointed out in the last segment, there is a move to try to block his appointment. And he said, look, maybe they don't realize that Trump won the American election. Ambassadors are chosen by their home countries to represent those countries and their national interests in foreign capitals, in this case, in Brussels. So, you know, you don't understand what an ambassador is for. But that is the way the opposition always tries to react, isn't it? Whether it is somebody speaking at a university or whether it is a protest or a counter-protest, they just want to censor the other side. And understandably, they would want to censor this guy because he is a very effective speaker and he gets exactly to the center of the point that's going on here. And he says, and of course, he supports Brexit. He thinks that the European Union, that the euro is going to collapse as well as the European Union. And even the person who is not very sympathetic to him in The Guardian says it was never a requirement of envoys to the Soviet Union that they support communism or of those to Saudi Arabia that they support the misogyny, or even that they would have to decline to support Saudi Arabian misogyny or Soviet Union communism. So why should the American ambassador to the European Union have to support globalism? Of course they don't. And this is what he had to say. Of course, he said the Davos man is dead. We explained what that was. But he also had some other interesting things to say. He said that Trump hopes that Europe succeeds, but he will deal with people on a bilateral basis and on that basis alone. But he also had some interesting things to say about Jean-Claude Juncker, the president of the European Commission. In the same way that you had Nigel Farage talk about Herman Van Rompuy, saying he had the demeanor of a third-rate bank clerk, you have Ted Malik saying, Mr. Juncker was a very adequate mayor, I think, of some city in Luxembourg, and maybe he should go back and do that again. Of course, Luxembourg being one of the smallest, if not the smallest country, if you don't count like the Vatican, I think Luxembourg probably is the smallest country. I'm sure somebody will fact check me on that. Nevertheless, Luxembourg is incredibly small, and he wasn't the president of Luxembourg. He was the mayor of a city in Luxembourg, and so it was really a put down. But he goes on to say this, which is very substantive. He says, Donald Trump has said some things about Germany that have caused concerns in those circles in terms of the people in Europe. He says Trump doesn't like an organization that is supranational, that is unelected, where the bureaucrats run amok, and that is, frankly, not a proper democracy. Wow. He laid it out. Think about that. This is a supranational organization that is unelected with a massive, unaccountable bureaucracy and isn't a proper democracy. Of course, you could say the same thing about Washington, too. That's why the bureaucrats in Washington are so afraid of Donald Trump. The bureaucrats have been running amok. They basically write the laws. They've been handed the keys to the city by the Congress, who have abdicated their position. You know, when Nancy Pelosi said, we'll have to pass this bill so we can find out what's in it, that wasn't as crazy as it sounds. It was a reflection of the reality in Washington that Congress hands off these massive issues to a bureaucracy, which then writes all the laws. So we truly do have legislation without representation. So it's going to be very interesting to see how this develops. He went on to say, and this is one of the things that got people upset on the BBC yesterday. He said, Trump won't cow down to the powers that be. He said this to the BBC. They said, why do you want to have this position at all anyway? And you don't like this organization. Well, he said he's not going to cower down to the powers that be. He'll speak his mind, even if it gets him in trouble or if he's held in disregard by others. It used to be called honesty, but in the age of baby talk and political correctness and mostly bull, BS is what he said, it's now regarded as dishonesty. And they were very upset that he talked that frankly to them. He said, look, he's going to tell you what he thinks. And of course, you don't like that. Now we have an age in which people are expected to speak in baby talk and to be politically correct. And we think that's absolutely BS, and we're not going to do it. And he laid it down. He said, you have unelected supranational organization that is not responsive and is undemocratic, and we are going to do everything we can to make sure that that doesn't continue to exist. And that's what the Trump administration is doing. He just laid it out right in their face. Now, one of the things that they're very concerned about, of course, is the French election, which is coming up. And so what are they doing? They're now working with Facebook and Google and all the mainstream French press organizations to say, we're going to vet fake news. We're all going to come together. And if there's something that doesn't put our perspective out there, we're going to censor it by saying that it's fake. We're going to push it out of the Facebook and Google feeds. That's the way they're going to fight in France. Stay with us. We'll be right back with Donald Trump.
The Empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network. Waging war on corruption. It's Alex Jones coming to you live from the front lines of the info war.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight. We're going to cover Donald Trump's speech. We got a couple of clips that we're going to play from it that he went to CENTCOM. That's MacDill Air Force. That's at MacDill Air Force Base in Tampa, Florida. That is now, of course, the United States Central Command. hub for operations for Middle East operations. So he was there to talk to them. And, of course, the backdrop of this is what is going on in Iran. So we're going to talk about that as well. Before we get to that clip and before we talk about what's happening with Iran, just want to remind you that we have extended until midnight tonight. And that's the end of it. The 25% off of Alexa Pure Pro water filter systems and Alexa Pure Breeze air filters at InfoWarsStore.com. Alexa Pure filtration system, that's the water filter, removes up to 99.9999% of bacteria, disinfectants, contaminants, and hormones. Because think about it, folks. All of those things are in your water, whether you're getting water off of a municipal system or whether you're pumping it out of the ground with your own well. It just has a different mixture depending on where you are. If you're getting it out of a well, nobody's dumping fluoride and chlorine into the water. But there's also that may be in there in terms of runoff from a municipal system. You're also going to possibly have some chemicals like glyphosates that might be used in a rural setting, more likely to be in your water if you're on a rural system than if you're in the city. But all of this stuff is there, as well as the kind of hormones and contaminants and pharmaceuticals that accumulate in our water system that are not filtered out by the municipal water filters, and it's not going to be filtered out by your home filtration system unless you've got something that can get out, can filter it that closely, 99.9999%. So that's the water filtration system, the gravity feed. Also, we have Alexa Pure Breeze. Eliminates 99.97% of airborne contaminants like dust, mold, allergens, flu viruses, and more with its patented technology. That sale, 25% off the water filters and the air filters from Alexa Pure, will end tonight at midnight. Also, we have 20% off the Making of the President book by Roger Stone at InfoWarsStore.com. That's the introductory price. And 10% off Secret 12. That's vitamin B12, now back in stock. 10% off at InfoWarsLife.com. You need to have B12. Many people supplement that with painful injections. You don't need to do that. You can just take that sublingually with this liquid formulation. Secret 12, vitamin B12, now 10% off at InfoWarsLife.com. So as I said earlier today, we had just about an hour or so ago, maybe about an hour and a half now, that Donald Trump was at CENTCOM. And there he kind of broke this down. We're going to have a couple of different segments here. One of these is about NATO. And again, we were just talking about the tension between the European Union and the Trump administration. Ted Malik getting very pointed, saying we're not going to support a supranational organization with unelected bureaucrats that flies in the face of democracy. We want to deal one-on-one with the individual nations, but not empower this massive predatory bureaucracy. And of course, he also said this weekend, the Davos man, the international globalist, people like to think of George Soros. He is the epitome of the Davos man, the man who recognizes no country as his own, but thinks that the world belongs to him. And he's going to do whatever they see the borders as an obstacle to their power, these elitists. And so this is a guy who used to be, as he put it, a Sherpa. And that's not a metaphorical phrase. That's really a title that people who put together massive summits like Davos have for themselves, talking in reference to the summits of Everest and so forth. But anyway, going back to CENTCOM, he took on NATO. He said, my administration strongly supports the alliance. We only ask that all NATO members make their full and proper financial contributions to the alliance, which many of them have not been doing. They're very unfair to us. So let's play this clip, part of Donald Trump's speech at CENTCOM earlier today.
Highest duty we have. I said it the other night. Great, great.
Wait a minute. Hold it there. Let's stop this. That's not Donald Trump. That's Donald Duck. Let's get that proper speed. You want to roll that back to the beginning?
Definitely is the defense of our nation. Supreme Court's so important, but we have to defend our nation. And we will do that, believe me. We will do that. And each and every one of you is central to that mission. The men and women serving in CENTCOM and SOCOM have poured out their hearts and souls for this country. They've really experienced things that very few people get to experience. You've shed your blood across the continents and the oceans. You've engaged the enemy on distant battlefields.
toiled in the burning heat and bitter cold and sacrificed everything so that we can remain safe and strong and free. Our administration will always honor our sacred bond to those who serve, and we will never, ever forget you. Believe me, we will never, ever forget you. We will ensure that the men and women of our military have the tools, equipment, resources, training, and supplies you need to get the job done. You've seen me say we've been depleted. Our Navy is at a point almost as low as World War I. It's a long time ago. It's a long time ago. It's not going to happen anymore, folks. It's not going to happen anymore. Not with me. But we will ensure no taxpayer dollars are wasted. I have already saved more than $700 million when I got involved in the negotiation on the F-35. You know about that. And I want to thank Lockheed Martin, and I want to thank Boeing, and I want to thank all of the companies that have really opened up. And when I say opened up, Rick Scott understands this very well. Opened up and cut their prices, okay? Because that's what they did. And we've got that program. It's going to be back in really great shape from really being very troubled. And we are going to be taking care of our great veterans. We will make a historic financial investment in the armed forces of the United States and show the entire world that America stands with those who stand in defense of freedom. We have your back every hour, every day, now and always. That also means getting our allies to pay their fair share. It's been very unfair to us. We strongly support NATO. We only ask that all of the NATO members make their full and proper financial contributions to the NATO alliance, which many of them have not been doing. Many of them have not been even close, and they have to do that. Central Command and Central Operations Command are at the very center of our fight against radical Islamic terrorism. America stands in awe of your courage. Those serving at CENTCOM have bravely fought across the theater of war in the Middle East and bravely battled a vicious enemy that has no respect for human life. Today, we express our gratitude to everyone serving overseas, including all of our military personnel in Afghanistan. SOCOM has dispatched its legendary warriors to the most secret, sensitive, and daring missions in defense of the United States of America. No enemy stands a chance against our special forces. Not even a chance. They don't have a chance. And that's the way we're going to keep it. And you're going to be better off because you're going to have the finest equipment known to man. Going to be better off. The proof that our nation has been blessed by God, look no further than the men and women of the United States military. They are the greatest fighters and the greatest force of justice on the face of the earth.
All right, and as he's talking about readiness and preparedness and having the best equipment, I'm hopeful that what he's going to do is get rid of this climate of bureaucracy, that the famous $600 toilet seats and so forth. And we've seen that. He's now negotiated down, as he pointed out, the new fighter jet program, just as he complained initially coming in, talking with Boeing about the cost of Air Force One. I think he's going to get more for our money. Of course, it's still going to be very expensive because these are custom things. But also, I hope that Donald Trump is going to look not only at the quantity of things or the price of things, but also at the quality. Take a look at this state-of-the-art Zumwalt class destroyer. This is a stealth destroyer. If you remember that, that was a destroyer that was designed not to operate in deep water, but in kind of close to the shore. They call that littoral. And it had to be towed back on its maiden voyages. It only went 50 miles. This is the thing that caused, I forget what the price of it was, $100 million, couple hundred million dollars, incredibly expensive. It was stealth. If you looked at the thing, it didn't look like a real ship. It looked like some kind of a toy model because, like a stealth fighter, it had these reflective surfaces on it that were supposed to keep it from being detected by radar. But it went about 50 miles and then had to be towed back because its engine broke down and they didn't have a backup engine designed into that destroyer. See, that's part of what's wrong with the military. And that's what I think Donald Trump is really going to get to the heart of. Not only the waste in terms of spending, but also the sloppy design that you see in things like these Zumwalt class destroyers. That doesn't serve anybody well. That doesn't protect the United States. It puts sailors' lives in danger when they break down after going only 50 miles. But it does make the military industrial complex a lot of money. And I think Donald Trump is going to take that on. Hopefully, he will do that in a way that we have seen previous presidents just give them a pass. But I want to go to the next thing that he was talking about. And, of course, this began with the test firing of a missile the end of the week last week. I think it was on Friday they did this. And Iran comes out and says, no, we weren't sending a message to Donald Trump. Really? You weren't sending a message to them? But at the same time, the very next day, they come out and they say, this is reported by Jerusalem Post. You can see this on the Drudge Report. They said, only 7 minutes is needed for an Iranian missile to hit Tel Aviv. This is a senior member of the Iranian Parliament's National Security and Foreign Policy Commission. And they told that to the semi-official Farsi news agency. They did that on Saturday. So at the same time, they come out and say, you know, we're, don't read anything into this. And as the articles point out, they've test-fired several ballistic missiles since the 2015 sweetheart deal that the Obama administration gave them. But this is the first time they've violated that agreement and the UN prohibitions since Donald Trump has been president. But I thought it was interesting when the Washington Post came out and said that this is the title. Of course, the Washington Post always opposes Donald Trump on everything. Even they'll take the side of Iran against Trump when it comes into this. But the Washington Post says Trump wants to push back against Iran, but Iran is now more powerful than ever. And here's the very first sentence of their article. President Trump's tough talk on Iran is winning him friends in the Arab world. But, and then they go on to make their case. Think about that. Think about the fact that Iran is not just chanting death to America every day since they took over the Iranian embassy 40-some-odd years ago. No, they are not just chanting death to America, death to Israel, but the Arab nations don't like Iran as well. You have to understand, Arabs and Muslims are not this monolithic thing. You've got Saudi Arabia attacking Yemen. You've got Iran and Iraq were fought each other for quite a long time. Remember that? Remember that Iran-Iraq war? And so the Arab world is very happy that Trump is talking about keeping them in their place. I think that's the interesting thing to take a look at. Let's go to this clip where he talks about Iran today at CENTCOM.
Proof that our nation has been blessed by God. Look no further than the men and women of the United States military. They are the greatest fighters and the greatest force of justice on the face of the earth and that the world has ever known. The challenges facing our nation, nevertheless, are very large, very, very large. We're up against an enemy that celebrates death and totally worships destruction. You've seen that. ISIS is on a campaign of genocide, committing atrocities across the world. Radical Islamic terrorists are determined to strike our homeland, as they did on 9/11, as they did from Boston to Orlando to San Bernardino, and all across Europe. You've seen what happened in Paris and Nice. All over Europe, it's happening. It's gotten to a point where it's not even being reported. And in many cases, the very, very dishonest press doesn't want to report it. They have their reasons, and you understand that. So today we deliver a message in one very unified voice to these forces of death and destruction. America and its allies will defeat you. We will defeat them. We will defeat radical Islamic terrorism, and we will not allow it to take root in our country. We're not going to allow it. You've been seeing what's been going on over the last few days. We need strong programs so that people that love us and want to love our country and will end up loving our country are allowed in, not people that want to destroy us and destroy our country.
That's the military audience at CENTCOM, Central Command in Florida. Let's go back to his speech. They like what freedom, he had to say.
Security and justice will prevail. In his first State of the Union message, President George Washington wrote that to be prepared for war is one of the most effectual means of preserving peace. Almost 200 years later, as the general was also speaking about Ronald Reagan, he said that wisdom comes in three very, very strong words. Peace through strength. I've said it many times during the campaign, speaking in front of tens of thousands of people at one sitting, and I'd always mention America first, a phrase that you probably never heard, make America great again. Anybody ever heard that? And peace through strength. The men and women of the United States military provide the strength to bring peace to our troubled, troubled times. We stand behind you. We support your mission. We love our country. We are loyal to our people. We respect our flag. We celebrate our traditions. We honor our heroes. You are our heroes. And we are prepared to fight. And we pray for peace. Thank you. God bless you, and God bless America. Thank you very much. Thank you.
And again, that's Donald Trump speaking at U.S. Central Command at MacDill Air Force Base in Tampa earlier today. He said, we will defeat radical Islamic terrorism. We will not allow it to take root in our country. People that love us and want to love us will be allowed in, not those who want to destroy us. That is why we have to know who is coming into this country. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Waging war on corruption. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight. You know, we saw in the wake of Donald Trump appointing Neil Gorsuch, nominating him, I should say, for Supreme Court chair that was vacated by Justice Scalia's death, we saw liberals start to say, wait a minute, this could get really bad for us because Donald Trump is going to nominate solid conservative judges to the Supreme Court. Now, this particular seat is not going to change the balance of the Supreme Court, but it's likely that there might be as many as three more. There are three more liberal or liberal-leaning justices who are quite elderly and quite beyond the average retirement age for Supreme Court justices of 79. Ruth Bader Ginsburg is 83, and she's already had a couple of bouts of cancer, one of them pancreatic cancer, which is usually a death sentence. So the liberals are concerned about her health. A lot of them are taking to social media saying, is she getting enough fresh air? Is she walking? Is she staying low stress? Is she getting enough fiber? Is she eating kale? Have her eat more kale. Can we put somebody on there to take care of her health? Well, you know what you can do, liberals? You can take a look at the products that we sell at InfoWarsLife.com. And we have, if you're worried about her getting enough fresh air, you can get her an Alexa Pure Breeze air filter. We've got them on sale, 25% off, and that sale is going to end at midnight tonight. Also, you want to get Ruth Bader Ginsburg clean water as well. And we have Alexa Pure Pro water filter systems, also 25% off. And, you know, you might want to take care of yourself and your family if you're not a liberal, or even if you are a liberal. You ought to take care of yourself. And those two specials, 25% off water and air filters, those state-of-the-art, top-of-the-line Alexa Pure Breeze filters, air filters, and water filters that get out nearly 100%, 99.97% of airborne contaminants like dust, mold, allergens, flu viruses, more with the patented technology of Alexa Pure Breeze. And the Alexa Pure filtration system for water gets out 99.9999% of contaminants. Also, you want to get yourself or even Ruth Bader Ginsburg if you want to get her to stick around a little bit longer. Secret 12, vitamin B12. That's our liquid vitamin B12 formulation. Very easy to take, great tasting, easy for you to assimilate. You don't have to get injections. You can just put it under your tongue, get the same benefit. Again, that is 10% off now at InfoWarsLife.com. Now, the interesting thing about this, of course, is they're saying, can she eat more kale? That's the top of the title of that article. And, of course, if she were in Europe, she might have difficulty doing that. Because in Europe, they're experiencing a severe shortage of vegetables. Why? Because of climate. It's very cold. It's not global warming, folks. It is so cold in Europe that they can't grow vegetables reliably. They say shops across Europe, particularly in the UK, have seen their shelves stripped of green produce like lettuce, broccoli, spinach, kale, eggplant, zucchinis. And the reason is they have cold weather that has overtaken even southern Europe, even places like Spain, where they typically grow vegetables this time of year. They're able to do that there now. They are being frozen out because of cold weather. You see, the data continues to overtake them. That story was up on the Drudge Report, along with this one over the weekend, about how NASA and NOAA, that's the climate organizations here, they're saying that the climate data is fake data. This is coming from realclimatescience.com. And of course, they're showing places where there is supposedly record heat, but they don't have any data from those areas. Okay, we've talked about how they want to discount satellite imaging data, which shows that there is no warming trend. They say, oh, but we have our thermometers that we've recorded this on. And not only have they moved the thermometers to, like, airport runways to underscore their data, but they're also saying that they have thermometer data from places where they don't even have any instruments. That's what that's the level of deception that we've got. Meanwhile, they say Donald Trump is shutting down climate science. No, he's not. He's calling your bluff. He's showing you, that you've been trying to hide the decline in temperatures, but we can all see it. That's it for today's broadcast. Join us tonight for the InfoWars Nightly News.
This is GCN, the Genesis Communications Radio Network.